everybody. Welcome. This is Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 20. We're wrapping up. This is our last week of dealing with the DC new number ones. So we'll be going over those and then over some other stuff if anybody had time to read it. My name is Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics, and also joining with me this week,
Jeremy Dan,
Ryan Sargent,
Adam Russell,
Sean Sisson,
Matt Little,
Joe F, 20-year reader.
Ooh. Do you get a little chip for that?
Oh, you get them out?
Oh, well, I have to work on some. Ooh, maybe I could do one.
You get the chip one year. One year.
Okay. Well. Okay. So in a year, come back after you haven't read.
Okay.
21.
For me, when you're 21, come back. Yes. For me, this was a rough week going because the previews order is due today at midnight, and as I sat down with the books, I realized I had a lot of work to do. So I finally finished reading them this morning, but my notes are not good, and everything's a little blurry. So hopefully the other guys can help me out on some of these. We'll start off with alphabetical because that seems to be the easiest way. We'll start off with All-Star Western. This was one I was looking forward to. I've always been a Jonah Hex fan. I haven't kept up with the current series or the previous series, I guess. But I jumped on I thought it was a good series. I really like this, the idea that they were incorporating into Gotham and the whole Batman mythos. And overall, for me, I really liked it. I thought the art was very fitting for the story. I thought it was interesting. Moritat is very well known, I think, more for his women than for drawing guys. And it was nice when the prostitute showed up. All of a sudden, you can really see his flair go. But I thought he did a nice job. It was a little dirty and grungy, which is, you're going to get in the Old West.
Technically Old Gotham.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
A good chunk of the story was showing corruption, even in young Gotham. And I definitely want to see where this one goes. And I like how it showed why Arkham built Arkham Asylum and how actually it was flawed from the very beginning. So I liked all that.
Yeah, I totally agree. The art was fantastic. Yeah. The only thing for me, I loved it, loved the story. I don't know that it was the best number one, only in the sense that Jonah Hex is a Western hero. I haven't read a lot of Jonah Hex, so the fact that this took place in a kind of Victorian era Gotham almost made it feel Sherlock Holmesy.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. It was a great story, but after the first arc's over and they move beyond Gotham and back to the Old West, which is Jonah Hex's familiar surroundings, I don't know if I will like it as much.
Okay.
I hope I do. The great thing about the previous Jonah Hex series with Palmiotti and Gray is that they were all done in one.
Right, and this clearly wasn't.
So you could grab random issues and you were fine. So I've liked what Jonah Hex I've read. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just curious to see what it'll be like when they move from Gotham to the West.
One other thing I liked is because even though it was more pages and it was a dollar more, it wasn't stretched. There was a lot of story there.
And I think moving forward, starting with issue two, there's going to be a backup that'll have, I don't want to get the characters confused.
Right.
DC's other Western heroes.
Rawhide Kid. Oh, no. Wrong
cover. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Two-Gun Kid, and I think that's Marvel.
That's Marvel, too. Yeah.
I love the way that Jimmy Palmiotti's career has evolved. I mean, he started out an anchor, moved up to editor, now he, has made the decision to stick with writing only with his partner, Justin Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was really great. This is the first Jonah Hex I've read. My only other exposure to the character is the short film that came out with one of the DC animated movies.
Oh, okay.
The DC animated universe with his appearances in Batman and Justice League. But I've always liked the character. But this is something I was looking forward to. I had my comment on Facebook when CBR had their initial poll of, it being supposedly the most under-order or under...
Least amount of interest.
Under-anticipated. And I thought it was great. I can't wait for more of this. Good. Definitely jumping on my subscription list. You're talking about Arkham, seeing Amadeus Arkham, which I'm replaying Batman Arkham Asylum right now in anticipation for Arkham City. And, there's little clues about Amadeus Arkham hidden here. So I like to see that they're pulling from the Gotham history. And they even pulled up some of the stuff that Snyder brought up in Gates of Gotham with the gates. They mentioned that the gates are at the mayor's having.
The families are all there.
Yeah, and they also mentioned Cyrus Pinckney, who's also important in Gotham architectural history. So all around, I just thought it was great. The action was great. The art was great. The writing was great. And I like that it's a $3.99 book, because when I was reading it, I felt like this story is never going to end.
Yeah.
And then after I read, you know, a $2.99 book right after it, not that I don't appreciate my $2.99 books, but I was like, it's over already? Like, I want more. So this was great. Loved it.
Cool.
Yeah, I really like this book, too. I like the how both characters that, you know, team up here, Arkham and Jonah Hex, both were really total opposites. And, you know, they team up to do this. I really like that. And I love past Gotham as well. I like looking into, you know, what made Gotham. I liked how it was a different type of Gotham, too, because they call it a new city, but it has so much underneath of it that's just so rotten about it, and I really like that line in the book. And but yeah, it was really cool. And I agree with Ryan though about the stuff in the game. They talk about Arkham a lot in the video game, especially his past and how he became, you know, how it became who he was. So I thought it was kind of cool from playing that and then jumping into this, knowing the character. So that was, but it was a good read. I liked it.
Good.
I was actually one of the ones, I know when Ryan posted out there that I said, you know, I wasn't surprised at all. I had no interest in this book whatsoever. Not a Jonah Hex fan, not a Western fan of any sort, movies, books, games, anything. And amazingly, I actually really enjoyed this, and it is going to go on my pull list.
Cool.
Good.
You know what I always liked about Jonah Hex is that you don't really have to know too much about the character. In any, whenever they bring out the book, you don't really have to know it. You can jump in, I think, at any time, to tell you the truth, of any beginning of a series. But
just don't mess with Jonah.
I really, truly don't mean this as bashing, but I used to really love this character when he was Wolverine. I mean, when it was the more, like, you don't, you know, go off half-triggered, you know, kind of shady, like, it, he feels
dark.
Very,
I mean, he's a dark
feels,
character.
Yeah, feels very Wolverine-ish to me.
I loved when Arkham was trying to analyze him.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I, it's like.
Clearly, you were beaten as a child.
Yeah. He's no better than the people he's fighting, other than his own internal moral code and like. Yeah.
The only thing I disagree with what everybody's saying, I wasn't a particular fan of the art, to be honest. Every page, everything in it was just a dull shade of brown.
Well, I think that was on purpose, though. Just give, you know, you're not going to have bright, flashy colors in the Old West, and to make it feel older. Yeah. Like, but I just think, you know, you get somebody flashy, I think, it, you know, the art wouldn't work. You know, it needs simple.
Yeah. I can understand that. I just, for some reason, the art just, The just the dull shaded brown the whole way through just didn't do it for me.
Okay. Well, as you said, you're a little bit more. You're not a fan of Westerns and things like that. Right. If you were, this would feel very natural to you. It's very much in that style.
In fact, I think I agree with that, because I think that made me feel, you know, more comfortable reading it, because it felt like a Western. It didn't feel like it was new Gotham. It felt like it was old Gotham and, you know, Old West type feel. So.
Yeah, that could very well be the case with me, is just because I don't like the Western. And
okay.
I guess that art, now that you mentioned it, does have that Western feel to it.
Did anybody else also get a feel of, like, From Hell? Like, that type of story?
I see what you mean. I haven't read From Hell, but I know the premise. And
yeah,
I can see
near
it.
The Victorian sort of serial killer.
Killing the prostitutes and the masons or whatever.
And I mean that in a good way. It was just a very good story.
Even though this took place in a city, I think it really stuck to Western conventions. I think that's what we were saying. Like, we all like the character so much because he's really simple to understand. You know, like, when you watch a Western movie, you know, the cowboy that rides the white horse with the light-colored hat is the good guy. The dark horse, the dark-colored hat is the bad guy. Whereas with Jonah, you know, he's kind of the shade of gray.
Yeah,
right,
he's wearing his Confederate
grays.
Exactly, yeah. And not only is he wearing the Confederate grays, but they're not torn up. You know, he still keeps them nice, which means that, you know, like Arkham says, he does have that code of morals or ethics or whatever it is that he sticks to.
I know Nick's not here, but do you know, wasn't Jonah Hex created as a homage to Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was the 70s.
Because he hasn't been around that long, right?
No.
Okay.
So I'm going to be the outlier and say I really did not like the book. The art was fine.
Where did he
I really
like
Justin Palmiotti or Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray, but it felt like a cheap money grab to pull Batman people into a struggling book.
It worked for me.
it really is. It feels.
I mean,
like,
I can see them doing that to get more readers, but I thought it was
that story could have been anywhere. that could have been, you know.
But on the other hand, it's a cool thing because it's putting together a shared universe. Like, it's showing you that Gotham has existed.
But as somebody who hates Westerns but likes Batman, I feel obligated to read it even though I didn't like it.
I can see your point with that because I think that's one of the reasons I actually like this more than I thought I was going to is because it takes place in Gotham.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a good move for a book, though. Like, I don't see it as a money grab, but I see it as a way to introduce Jonah Hex to an audience that might not like Jonah Hex.
I don't want to say he's a money grab, but I think it was trying to get readership by pulling in Batman fans into a Western.
But I think that what their take on that would be is it pulls you in, like for Sean, it was a comfortable environment because it's Gotham, and they throw the little tidbits about Gotham. But ultimately, you take away the Gotham, it's like we were saying earlier, you get drawn to Jonah Hex as a character. So that, you know, the next arc, if it does move out of Gotham, hopefully if they have done their job, we will care enough about Jonah Hex that we'll stick with it even when it goes back.
Who's a pretty neat
character. Yeah.
Remember, my brother-in-law was slowly sucking him into DC. He'd been a Marvel zombie and, you know, oh, I really like Hawkeye. We'll try Green Arrow. He's like, oh, well, Punisher's my favorite. You know, who do they have that's, you know, better than the Punisher? I went, Jonah Hex. And, you know, just as far as attitudes, things like that. So he tried Jonah Hex and really liked it. So, you know, different, but
because it was
similar
attitudes.
It was attitudes.
A fairly popular book when it came out in the 70s, wasn't
Jonah
it?
Hex? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
But they've always kind of connected Batman to Jonah Hex, and they've always tried to sell it with Batman. Because even the cartoon back in the 90s, the Batman cartoon, they even have an episode that
the
goes back in time.
Of the Brave and the Bold.
Go back in time. Batman doesn't go back in time, but they flash back to the West.
Well. Yeah.
And yeah, that's true. And he meets up with he did that in one of the but he meets up with Ra's al Ghul, or it's like his son or something like that. I mean, it was kind of cool. But they've always kind of done that.
I was kind of surprised not to see who's the father, the guy from Final Crisis, the father of evil, Savage.
Yeah.
I'm surprised not to see him in the issue.
It's early. Yeah.
He's in Demon Knights right now. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like, he's.
But yeah, of course, this takes place later on.
He might be the head of that Masons group.
That could that wouldn't be a surprise at all.
I'm wondering if this group might be connected to the group that Snyder's looking to introduce in Batman. He's made some comments about some shadowy organization.
I was thinking Hydra, but sure.
Right. Something like that.
But I think it's cool, too, though, like what we're saying is they have Demon Knights that's set, you know, in the Middle Ages. They have Jonah Hex that's the Wild Wild West. But just with very subtle things, they're able to tie both of those books and make them relevant to the line that, you know, everything else going on in the line. Just by little, like, Easter eggs like that.
But Demon Knight really feels like prehistoric Stormwatch or medieval Stormwatch, right?
I think that's what it's supposed to be.
And Jonah Hex kind of felt like Wild West Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, along that line.
Yeah,
like,
but I'd rather see the guy from the end of Batman Inc. if we're going to do Midwest Batman.
Okay, moving on. Aquaman. This was one I've always wanted to like Aquaman. I read the 1 year later Aquaman. I gave it my best shot, and I tried, like, for 9 issues. I stayed with it, and I couldn't. So this one, when they first announced it, I'm like, eh. But then when I saw Johns and Ivan Rice, I went, it's got to be good. You can't put those two guys on a book and have it not be good. And I thought it was good. I liked that it established Aquaman as a disrespected hero and basically put that all out there in front of you. Everything everybody has said for years, put it all out front, and now we'll see where it goes from there. My last note, I trust Johns to make him relevant. I know you liked it, Jeremy.
I loved it. Aquaman is one of my favorite heroes going back to my Super Friends days.
So you like
actually,
lame superheroes?
What?
You like lame superheroes?
I
like
do.
Vulcan?
Like Hulk?
lame Hulk smash.
But I mean, I've always loved Aquaman, and I don't think his comics have been as bad as what other people do. I've sold several people at this table on that Aquaman Death of a Prince just because I love that trade exists. And I thought the Peter David series was great. I also really loved the Sub Diego stuff that happened right before the 1 year later. That's actually the better stuff to read, in my opinion. And, you know, I love Geoff Johns, so I honestly, there was no way I think this could have been a bad book for me, but even with all those expectations, it just exceeded them. Like, it was, it acknowledged everything that people think is wrong with Aquaman, but it also showed you how he can be a very relevant and, you know, kind of badass superhero.
I think the setting, the city they put it in makes it easy to keep him incredibly relevant. I mean, it's in Boston. Right. There's water everywhere in Boston, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah. I mean, it. I think it fixes things that may have been wrong previously, but doesn't... It's not a total reinvention of the character like they've tried to do with, you know, some of the other characters we'll talk about tonight, like Hawkman or Firestorm. I mean, he is still Aquaman and everything.
Now, is his original history one male parent, Queen of Atlantis?
Yep, like, that's been his whole thing, is that he was born to an Atlantean mom, and he had blonde hair and blue eyes. They took that as a curse, so he was banished, ended up at the lighthouse. The lighthouse keeper raises him, and then you get into some funky Golden Age versus Silver Age stuff.
I thought in the book this week, it was his dad was human, his mom was Atlantean.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's...
But he said he didn't go under to Atlantis until he was nine or something.
Right, and that's... Right, like his mom had him, but he was, like, banished as a baby.
Before he even went there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And the original origin, he kind of had two fathers, in quotes. Like, he had his biological father, who was a sailor, but that father died. So then they'll make a lot of references to a lighthouse keeper who basically raised him, and that wasn't his biological father.
Well, they
kind
of combined that, right? Because he said, well, you could be the captain of your own ship, and he said something about staying on land to guide them with the light or something along those lines. But I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised that I liked it, because I thought, like most people probably did, that, oh, it's Aquaman, it's just Geoff Johns' next pet project that he's going to try to make relevant again. But all in all, I really enjoyed it, and I think, you know, the scene in the restaurant was hilarious, where he's eating fish.
Yeah, that was great.
Or he orders it anyway, doesn't get to eat it. But I thought that was great. I thought it was kind of cannibalistic. But,
well, he's not a fish, though.
I don't know. I
mean, is it any worse than, like, a rancher eating meat?
No, not really.
You just sound like all those people at the restaurant.
Yeah. Do you have a blog?
Well, if I did, I'd tell you that I was sexually offended by them, by the women in the restaurant treating him like a piece of meat.
Oh, okay. Fish.
Piece of fish.
Right. And it was a fish rusher.
And that nice shot of his cod piece was...
you know, I didn't even notice it, so why are you fixated on the shot of his cod piece, man? Hang on, I'm taking some notes here.
Yeah, the women do are like, oh, look at him, or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, with all the other outrage, I just think it's ironic.
My one question, when he's getting shot, and obviously his shirt is bulletproof, but his head wasn't because it got grazed by the bullet, I don't know. I'd be standing there as they're shooting at me.
Wasn't he holding the thing up, or was that Superman?
He
was holding it up later, yeah. Well, he put it on his trident. And
if you're moving around...
Well, no, but he was standing there.
I kind of took it as one of... Johns is really good at, you know, sort of presenting a character's powers or a character's origins just by looking at it from a different viewpoint. And I think that's what he did with Aquaman, and I think it worked really well. This was one of my surprises of the week, and the main thing I'm going to cite for that is when someone's like, well, don't you talk to fish? And he's like, I don't talk to fish. You know, he's like, fish can't think. They're not capable of it. I just sort of mentally... push them to do what I want.
Another matter.
Yeah, I like that side comment. But I think this is something that works. This is what Johns is good at, and I was worried about how much he'd be able to do this with Aquaman, given the fact that the new 52 is sort of a relaunch, you know, that's light on continuity, and that's usually his strong suit. He takes the continuity and presents it in such a way that it makes it interesting to sit there and basically read history for, you know, a couple pages. I thought this was really great. I thought it made Aquaman far more human. In previous podcasts, I talked about how I liked the Flashpoint Aquaman that's a little more like Namor, the Submariner. And I like that, but I like this, too, that he's just sort of a guy, you know, he's stuck between these two worlds and he's trying to make the best out of it. He's trying to be... He's
not accepted by any of them.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I like.
It seems like he's humble, but you can tell that he's a badass.
Yeah.
Still, but he's just not, doesn't have the attitude of
it. Well, I really liked when he, you know, they're like, well, do you have a day job? And he's like, no. And they're like, well, how do you make money? And, you know, you see him with this giant treasure chest filled with doubloons. He's like, oh, I get by. And, you know, he leaves the two gold coins and says, keep the change. Like, he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And he's like, put your kids through college. Like,
I think
that's
they should
awesome.
Have an Aquaman Pawn Stars crossover where he sells the doubloons to get money.
Right.
But you know, you were saying that about him being the outsider. Like, if you go back, like, through his whole history, and I probably read more Aquaman comics at this table, probably so I know that. But that's his thing, is that he's an outcast from human society because of being an Atlantean, mm-hmm. and the Atlanteans treat him worse than the humans do. It's like, one minute he's their king and they love him.
Right.
2 minutes later, it's like, you know, we don't want you to be our king anymore. You're not dedicated. Because his whole thing has always been, he's never been dedicated enough to Atlantis.
Right.
Like, the Atlanteans say, we want you to be our king, but you need to devote yourself wholeheartedly to Atlantis. And he's like, but there's this whole, you know, he has that heroic drive, and, you know, he's like, I can't do that. So they are pretty harsh sometimes.
Right.
So in Flashpoint, Mira wasn't Atlantean. She was something else.
She was.
Hard water powers.
Well, no, she's never been Atlantean. She's from an alternate dimension.
Really?
Yeah. Did you read Brightest Day?
I heard about, like, I didn't read it. I just caught parts of it here and there.
But yeah, her origin.
They touched on it in that Death of a Prince.
Yeah, her origin has never been that she was Atlantean. She's a mermaid from an alternate dimension.
But is she still that now?
Was that covered in Brightest Day, though? That she's from a different dimension?
Yes.
Okay, because I thought it was just...
That was the whole story.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was just... I mean, I just caught bits and pieces. I knew that they were having some sort of aqua war or whatever, but
yeah.
I thought it was just that she was, like, kind of a banished set of Atlanteans who just happened to have water powers.
In another dimension.
Okay.
Because the whole thing is Black Manta ends up in the same dimension.
Right,
and
he's the father of Aqualad.
Yeah.
I read about that. But.
So I have to ask, is Aquaman DC's answer to Namor, or is Namor Marvel's answer to Aquaman?
They both came out about the same time.
Yeah.
Really?
And if you think about it, you know, you're going to have a water-based...
Yeah.
You know, when you're making up superheroes...
They're all similar characters.
No, not at all.
No, I mean, they both fly, they're both bulletproof.
Aquaman can't fly.
Aquaman's never had... Up until probably the Peter David years, Aquaman never really had that arrogance that Namor had. Like, Aquaman was always much more...
Power set-wise, they're similar.
Yeah.
No, does Namor talk to animals?
Namor can control fish.
They are similar. They're aquatic superheroes, but they're not carbon copies of one another.
Yeah.
There are quite a few
differences.
It's like
Superman and Thor.
I think Namor was just really strong, wasn't he?
Sean was shaking his head.
Namor was really strong and he can fly. He's got winged feet.
He's the first mutant.
And that doesn't really make... Yeah, he's the first
mutant. I think Namor and Aquaman are similar, not only in that they're aquatic, but they're half-breeds, mm-hmm. like half Atlantean, half human.
Never really made any sense, though, that Namor could fly.
He's those little wings on
him. Why would he have to go up in the
air?
He lives
those
in the water.
I'm actually going to take the opposite view on Aquaman. This was actually one of the books I was really, really looking forward to this week, especially after just reading mm-hmm. Death of a Prince. The problem, though, that I had with this was, while there was nothing actually wrong with the issue, I thought the issue was fine, I don't know if there was enough in it to make me want to read another issue.
Okay.
It seemed to be lacking.
I'll agree with you on that. Not a lot happened.
I think it... I think what it is because of the perception of Aquaman, I think Johns felt he had to spend more of that story convincing you why you should want to read Aquaman. Not so much in a story plot sense, but just trying to define the character in such a way to make you like the character. But I totally understand what you mean as far as, like, the plot. It's like you get two pages at the beginning and a page at the end of these crazy fish guys you don't really know. But, you know, I think starting the next issue, that story is going to kind of be the focus. I think this was just a, hey, I've never read Aquaman before. Who is this guy? What's he about?
But for me, as somebody, though, as well, that hasn't really read that much Aquaman at all, I didn't really, I thought that was really enough. Like, it, those fish guys really brought me in, because I was like, okay, what are these guys? You know, they just came out of nowhere, and I want to know. Plus, it gave me a little more, you didn't have to really have anything to jump into. And that's one big thing I've had with these books, is I'm wanting a book that I don't have to know too much about the character to jump into this new issue. So, because then I can get into it. I think it had a lot of that, because you didn't really have to know anything about
Aquaman. Yeah, I'm on board with what you're saying, Adam, because, yeah, like, all the people in the issue are what made it for me. Like, the way that the cops interacted with Aquaman.
Yeah.
You know, like, just being confused.
Did you need a glass of water?
Yeah.
I felt bad. I was like, oh. Yeah.
And he also, being the, you know, the book related to how people think here in reality about Aquaman, you know, even me, before reading it, I was like, okay, this relates to me, because I kind of thought that way about Aquaman. I was like, you know, this character, he's just, and they made fun of themselves, and I thought that was a good move on their
part.
They
challenged themselves to overcome.
But that being said, I hope that after the first issue, they get away from that a little bit.
Oh, I think they will. Yeah. I think it was just establishing. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be every issue. Yeah, I think it truly was just an introductory issue to, you know, let people know about the character. Hey, he's not the same old Aquaman we've always known, you know, and then it'll move forward like a normal comic book.
It made you kind of change your mind about the character, because you saw this character acting this way, but they were telling you, oh, you should be acting like how people think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to claim that you'll like the story when it starts, but I would probably, if you like Aquaman as a character, maybe check out number two. Just to see if the story gets you.
Being it's John's, I plan on giving it at least the first arc to really get me. It was just the first issue seemed to be lacking somewhat for me.
I hope he brings back the character, though, a little bit. I think it's good that he's on it of anybody.
Yeah.
Because if there's anybody who's going to, because he's, you know, he brought Green Lantern back that I, you know, Flash. I get to read it. Yep. Flash.
The only problem that I have when John says these reimaginings, and he loves these Silver Age heroes, like, you know, just as much as I do, and it's great, it's that sometimes he sets the bar so high when he leaves.
Yeah, that it's hard to get back.
Yeah, they plummet.
Okay. Yeah.
Next one, Batman the Dark Knight. I thought it was good, but it just seemed like another Batman story. I don't see why it needed its own book.
It seemed like Scott Snyder's Batman wrote by David Finch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the same story.
It's really great.
Yeah. Co-wrote by David Finch.
Jenkins is on now.
Because the same thing happened in both issues.
It wasn't the exact same story.
I mean, Batman swinging across the city with a bunch of exposition, changes into a suit, goes to a gala, and then Arkham breaks out. Last week was Arkham breaks out. Batman swinging across the city with a bunch of exposition, goes to a gala.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was reading it, and I'm just like, I don't know why we need this book.
Now, Snyder did tweet last night because somebody asked him about it, and he said that Finch is taking it in a completely different direction.
He reversed it.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's some, like, Flashpoint after effect ripples or something, where now we're experiencing time backwards from a different writer.
Well, they did have hulked up Two-Face.
Venom.
Same stuff that Bane takes.
And now Finch is co-writing this month, and then next month he's co-writing and co-penciling.
Yeah, well, I think he proved that he can't hit a monthly book, so...
Yeah. But he couldn't hit a monthly book drawing and writing, can he?
Right.
Make a monthly book.
Probably not. He doesn't have a real reputation of being on time. I don't think it was the writing was the problem.
With this book, it felt like that they didn't really end the last series. It just kind of
I'm sure this wasn't really part of the when they came up with whatever plan they had. It was, well, we had this book going, and it kind of we had to rush to finish it.
Wasn't Levitz that said they originally were going to go with 48 books, knowing they would end up adding four?
Oh, maybe that would have been probably did I or
the
not? Levitz.
It was one of those guys up there.
Remember that.
He said something about we were going to do 48, knowing we planned 48, knowing we would end up adding four to get to 52.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with everyone. It's more that Batman's books are so crowded that this one didn't really give me anything special that I didn't get in Detective Batman and Batman and Robin.
With the other books, each one had its own place. Its own voice. Detective was more about him investigating. Batman don't know, Batman's the core Batman book. Batman and Robin is definitely, you know, the Robin aspect is in that.
And if you looked at this book prior to the relaunch, it seemed like what Finch was going for in that niche is some type of gothic horror Batman.
Yeah, like supernatural.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks like probably from the end he's going to continue that. I think just for me that's an aspect of Batman's character that I'm not as interested in as the others.
I bet you this was one of the first new DCU books to be canceled.
No, the next one is my vote for the first one.
It's a Batman book,
I'd say it's
though.
One of the first.
But it'll have strong sales, I think, just on the basis.
Because it has Batman.
Batman and David Finch. Right.
Even the last Batman Dark Knight sold all pretty much even with
even
Batman.
Though some of the issues and better than Detective. Come out.
And it's the first one to run late.
Oh.
Wait a minute. How did it sell? It sold better than Snyder's Detective?
Yep.
Wow.
People weren't buying Detective.
Then people were not buying the
That's
brand.
Why.
No, but a lot of it was, oh, look, I'm just coming out. Oh, here's Batman. It's on number three. I can get one and two. And
they really played this book out.
Detectives at 880.
They really played this book up during Batman Inc. Mm-hmm. As being like the Batman book that was just going to have
Bruce
the
Bat.
Batman
yeah.
Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's why it did really well.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm. I agree with what we said. You know, it doesn't really have its own voice. It doesn't really seem like anything special in the Bat universe. Like you said, Colin, it wasn't awful. It just wasn't special.
Yeah.
I didn't
think
anything great about it. The one thing that they did that I thought was interesting that they haven't done yet is that there's finally someone openly disagreeing with Bruce Wayne about funding Batman.
Yeah.
Which confirms that part of Bat history,
right,
is that
Batman,
you know, Morrison's Batman Inc. still sticks.
Yeah.
Because we never really got that in Morrison's run, and that's not something Morrison would usually touch on. Morrison always goes for the bigger ideas. But, you know, I liked having the one police officer who's like, you know, you're funding Batman, but you're just a dumb millionaire playboy. Obviously, you can't figure this out by yourself, so you're working with somebody in the police department. I want to know who it is.
Right, right.
And I like that. Like, obviously, that's going to be an interesting character. Well, I think it could be
if
they take it the right way. But the rest of it, I just thought, you know, like, okay, here's another Bond girl type woman for Batman to date. You know, Arkham Breakout again, that happens every other week, and there's a revolving door on Arkham. That I kind of expect that. I thought the cliffhanger, I have never had more of a blank mind when I saw that page.
What?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, if he hadn't said what he said, I wouldn't have
That's
either.
That's my biggest thing.
And I guess it's, you know, it's Thursday, the book's been out since yesterday.
Yeah.
You don't mind if I...
No,
about,
okay.
Seeing Venomed out Two-Face, I could handle because, I mean, that's a concept that's been treaded in. Right, yeah, but he's not Two-Face. He says, call me One-Face.
But yet he still has two faces.
What?
If he had stepped out Venomed up with a normal face and said that,
if
that would have been...
Him, that
I think what he was saying, though, was his split personality. That he was fully, you know... The other face, not Harvey Dent.
I think my problem is just that it stretches the face quote metaphor.
Yeah, but it was really
it be. Yeah,
really
it was
bad.
Just like, and I thought there was a clear division where I could tell like Jenkins came up with this part of the issue and Finch came up with this part of the issue. I think from Prison Break onwards that was Finch, but everything before that was Jenkins because I felt like that was really smooth and I didn't mind the speech about fear. I didn't mind the little gala that he was doing. I mean, that's something that Bruce Wayne would do, and I'm glad that we're seeing more of Bruce Wayne in the Batman books, you know, than we had in the past. I mean, as much as I love Morrison's run, we didn't get a whole lot of Bruce Wayne. We got a lot of, you know, the inner dark vigilante nougat that lies inside the outer shell of Bruce Wayne. I don't know where I'm going with that metaphor.
I'm hungry.
Yes, like M&M. You know, we didn't get a lot of Bruce Wayne in some of the previous Batman books, so I'm glad that they're focusing on that again and making Bruce Wayne an actual character that not just this is who he is during the day, but we're only showing you what happens at night.
But after the last, you know, what was it? I forget what the book's called. The Dark Knight. It had a totally different feel to it. Like, it had a really...
You mean the four books?
It's not on it.
Okay. You mean the four books that Finch did before this?
Yeah, they were a little more... Then somebody mentioned, like, supernatural type stuff. There was a little more mystery to it. They were trying to find this woman that he knew from his past. Mm-hmm. And I think it had a better story to it. Right now, jumping into this, it's just like... He's just going to fight Two-Face, and you know, there wasn't really too much to hold me.
He's going
to
fight One-Face.
One-Face. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Harvey Dent.
Okay. Next up, Blackhawks. Somebody want to jump on this one?
I didn't even give it a shot.
I actually forgot about the story 5 minutes after I read it.
I never quite got the story. It was some bad guys are doing something, and this is some group that nobody seems to know about, that no one's ever even seen their logo before.
I think there's supposed to be confusion. A super checkmate.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I actually read on comic book resources right before this. Somebody was giving a review, and he said it's DC's G.I. Joe.
Yes.
And as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, this is totally...
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense, because it's Mike Costa.
I'd say, Joe, okay. Did Mike Costa write G.I. Joe, or has
he
been involved
in G.I. Joe? He's been doing the current, or the Cobra stuff.
The Origins stuff for the Cobra. Yeah.
Something recent.
You're G.I. Joe fans, so I thought.
Mm-hmm. That was my first time I read it online.
You have to leave now, Joe. you're useless to us.
hey,
friend of the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
But I was looking forward to this because that I had read that it was supposed to be G.I. Joe in the DC Universe, and I like the G.I. Joe concept, but this was... It just didn't have anything going for it. It had a lot of boring exposition and cliches, and, here's all our... witty characters, and they each have witty call signs that have nothing to do with their actual origins. Like, this guy's called Irish, but he's from Russia. Yeah!
But he was Irish.
Wasn't that a joke of Forrest Gump?
He was just born in Russia.
His name was Tex.
Yeah, but, like, his connection to being Irish is just that his mom was...
Irish. His parents were Irish, but he grew up in the Ukraine.
Yeah, right. Well, then the other guy was like, and they call me Canada, but I'm from Louisiana. You don't want to know that story because it's a spicy one. Whatever. Yeah, that's the thing. It just didn't matter.
The thing I thought was interesting was they reveal in the first panel they say Field Op Lady Blackhawk.
Yeah,
I didn't see Zinda anywhere.
And my other problem with this is the whole linchpin of the plot is that someone snaps a photo of their logo on the side of their chopper, and I just think. Why does a Black Ops team have a logo in the first place? And why would you put it on a chopper? I know, I get that, but obviously the UN wants to advertise, hey guys, we have a Black Ops team.
So they don't look like every other helicopter. That's how they're Black Ops.
I think that might tie into the what I thought was the real plot, other than the chick and the dude, their relationship was. The UN guy walks in and said, you can't afford all this on your budget.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? So maybe they're selling advertising.
Have some graphic design
firm
way out in the back making logos for them.
I like the war book kind of feel, so I'll give it a second chance, but it wasn't that good. But I like war books, so I want to see them succeed. Kind of like Jeremy was saying, even if Hawkman was awful, he'd still buy it because he wants a Hawkman book.
Hawkman.
But I just put uneven, poor art, and I'm glad that the art team is changing. There was a panel at the end, I think it was like on the very last page, where the lady, I guess, just her face was messed up. It was like she looked really pretty, but her eyes were very mismatched. And somebody said, she was trying to squint or something. I'm like, well, then the one eye shouldn't be 2 inches below the other one.
That was sarcasm.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you were defending it. But yeah, this is my vote for the first book to be canceled. I don't think this one's going to find an audience.
I lost me 3 pages in.
Did you finish it?
I read all of it. I just, 3 pages in, I was just like, this better pick up or I'm not picking it up.
See, I think Legion will be, Legion books will be first to go.
Yeah, because Legion has its core fan base. That one's going to, that will survive just fine.
It really sounds like this one had, of all of them that we've, recorded of the podcast about this, this book had, the worst response.
Yeah,
I've never heard everybody
even Hawk and Dove had the story was kind of interesting, and I there's some things I want to see. But this one, when number 2 comes out, this will might get read.
Colin was right, by the way. He read G.I. Joe Cobra.
Okay,
so. And the other real notable thing was Secret History of Hawksmoor.
The Authority.
Yeah, I didn't read that, but I didn't hear good things about it. Okay. Next, Flash. I just read it this morning, so my notes are poor. blank, actually. So somebody else go.
We can have a discussion over who loved this more, I think.
I think so.
I'm sure one of you two will win.
It was brilliant. Francis Manapul's art in this book. And I was talking to Colin earlier. Colin and I were both saying some concern because he did the art on the previous Flash book, and the art on the previous Flash book just wasn't, I don't know, right. Like, Flash needs to be kinetic art. It has to give you that feel of motion because that's all Flash is about. The previous Flash book was very static. You never got that sense of motion.
Yeah.
And I was actually more concerned because Francis Manipal was doing the art and the story, but I think this is a case where it's just like J.H. Williams. Like, because he was able to tell his story, he could tailor that art, and it was just kinetic, and it moved, and it was a perfect Flash book.
Do you think the art on the last Flash was rushed? Because wasn't John's late between the end of the first arc and the beginning of the second one that led into Flashpoint?
Well, that's the thing, is no one's ever...
We don't know why it was late.
There's never been...
It was late, but yeah, we don't know why.
But it was the part that led into Flashpoint, so...
Yeah.
Maybe he was rushed to get it out.
That could be, but it actually was...
It
was the first issues of that Flash I didn't like. I read the first two, and I just never read
anymore.
The other
thing he did with this that I think also helped is the art was very kinetic, but it wasn't overly detailed. Which, in this case, is not a criticism.
No, because, and there were backgrounds.
Yeah, but it was a very simple drawn book. It wasn't, like, intricately illustrated. And for Flash, that was perfect.
I would call it beautiful, but not brilliant. I don't even remember what the story was, to be honest.
But his buddy with the genome thing. He was at the party. The thing got stolen.
Still don't really remember.
Okay,
but I just thought the layouts in that.
I thought the artwork was really nice in it. I don't really remember the story at all. Okay. Just like that.
It was only part of a story. I mean, it was definitely just the setup.
Thing I didn't get was the timeline of where, because he didn't.
It's current.
Well, he didn't know Iris.
He didn't know her.
I thought she knew him as Flash already, though. I thought she already knew he was Flash.
Well, in the previous continuity,
yes.
But, so they've changed that.
You're confusing timeline with continuity.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's...
It's present-day DC, but the point they were trying to make is this is, post-Flashpoint.
So it's post-Flashpoint, so Iris after that.
Yeah.
But that was one thing I mentioned to Jeremy... after I read it, was just because I kind of like that there's this other woman that he's kind of with, and then Iris, not being the other woman, but it's setting up another triangle, and Flash being a part of that triangle. It was neat, like the old Clark Kent
thing. Iris, I kind of like that. But Barry loves
Patty.
I don't know why. Patty loves
Iris. Wait, no. It's a different book.
I don't know.
They set up Patty in the last couple issues of the last volume.
Yeah.
She came back. And was she a previous character? Did she pop up in Wade's run? I don't know. I don't know either. But
Nick!
Where's Nick? We need the continuity king.
You're reading a variant?
Jeez. I thought it was a great book. Like you said, I like Manipal's art. I like what he did with layouts. I feel like he might be compared negatively to Williams because he's doing some J.H. Williams
falling scene. Yeah.
And I'm having a hard time even sometimes when I look at it. I think like, okay, well, Williams started this trend of, bucking the 9-panel layout and now everyone's going to do it. But it works for what Manipal's doing. I liked the page where he's falling. You get these little blocks of him falling. He, vibrates the guy into the building, and then he vibrates through the ground. And then I also like that he doesn't have a handle on his powers. I think that's part of the reason what made Barry kind of unrelatable is that Barry was supposed to be this, like, super god of the Speed Force. He's Barry Allen. He's the best Flash ever.
Right.
So what do we need Wally West for? And I think it's interesting that they are taking Barry
back.
Take him back a little bit, make him a little more human. I liked that he has that weird relationship with Iris and Patty, and not weird. It's like a Spider-Man-ish kind of, I'm available, but at the same time, there are women fawning over me, but I'm not sure what's going on. Yes. You looked up Patty.
Yeah, I looked her up on a wiki, and I think I remember who she is now. I think when Iris was murdered by Reverse Flash, he had a new love interest.
Oh, okay.
She was that love interest.
Okay.
It sounded like from the previous run she had moved away and had just come back.
Yeah. I don't think she was in Wally's series.
Wait, John's addressed something from the past?
Because most of my familiarity is with Wally's series.
Yeah.
So
okay. But yeah, I thought it was great. I didn't know how I was gonna feel about having Manipal write the story. I didn't think I'd be interested, but it was really interesting. I'm glad to see Flash fight somebody that isn't Reverse Flash.
Good dialogue.
Yeah. It's good.
Cool. Joe?
You're quiet.
Oh, you know, I'm okay. Just waiting to talk about the Fury of Fire.
Hey, well, you know what? It just so happens that that is next, so I'll let you go for it, Joe.
All right. Well, I'm a huge fan of Ethan Van Sciver, and this was one of my most hotly anticipated titles. And it lived up to the hype, you know? It successfully preserved the idea of multiple characters, you know? It successfully preserved Ronnie Raymond and Jason Rush. And it also kind of did it really removed Professor Stein.
And, but still made reference to him. And he certainly is a character in the book, even though he's not there.
And taking Ronnie Raymond back in age, it keeps it very, very young. It made the storyline feel youthful. You know, and I liked it. I liked that they were fighting an unscrupulous corporation and their assassins. But I also kind of liked the racial undertones that they threw in there.
And it was done intelligently.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, Ronnie Raymond's talking about the African American players.
And neither one being right or wrong. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Although, if I had anything to complain about this book, I wish that Ethan Van Sciver was doing the artwork too.
I thought the art was. I liked the art. Now, I come at this. I'm older than you guys. But not that one. But when I was first starting collecting in the early 80s, that was a great page. Matt was just showing the big splash page from Flash. And I think that was, I really enjoyed that.
It's very J.H. Williams.
It's very J.H. Williams, but I really like that. But okay, back to Firestorm. When I first started collecting and going to the store, Fury of Firestorm first came out back in the early 80s. So that was one of those books that I was able to jump on from the beginning. So I have a real fondness for the character. And I didn't keep up with it a long time, probably just maybe the first 25 issues or so. So, but that's my memory of Firestorm, is, you know, Ronnie Raymond, the professor, all these kind of wacky bad guys, and just fun. So I was really looking forward to this, especially, it looked like they were going back, you know, it was going to be Ronnie Raymond. I did try the Jason Rush early issues, and just, he was too angry, and I didn't want to read about an angry Firestorm. So I didn't keep up with it. But I came at this one. I really wanted it. I thought it was a good first issue. It definitely introduced everybody. It introduced a lot of the sub-issues. Showed how they became the Firestorms. So I thought that was neat.
And it's going to be three more Firestorms.
Right. Well, it's not the Firestorm that we knew, but there's enough familiar elements that someone like me can get into it. Yeah.
Different origin, it felt like.
But I thought it was neat.
I loved Gail Simmons' writing. I thought this book was great. I thought it was good.
With one new power, the combined Firestorm.
Right, Fury.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was definitely
We'll see what happens
wasn't
there.
Wasn't it coming out of Brave's Day with the two of them being trapped in the same mind? Wasn't there a Fury thing?
I don't remember. Jeremy, I just remember that.
Kind of. Okay. Yeah.
Kind of, not really. So I'm curious how, if they're going to carry over from Brightest Day, that he's the most powerful being in the universe. Because I kind of find that hard that it came out of a bottle or a scientific experiment. He's going to be the most powerful being in the universe when you have the Guardians and your Green Lanterns and your Superman. You have aliens, but somebody drinks some radiation water.
Yeah, well,
he's the most he can destroy the universe.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. I have faith it'll be good.
Yeah. Sean, anything?
I feel really good for us. Don't work outside of Brightest Day. I really have no background into the character. It wasn't good or bad for me. Okay. It was just sort of, it was there. It, you know, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. One of the things in it, whenever he breaks the vial or does whatever, and the two of them become the fire, you know, the nuclear man, the only part that got me there is the girl standing there, too. Why isn't she a part of it, too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're flying away, and she's like, hey, guys! Mm-hmm. You know?
They should tap you around a second. All right, well, work that in.
People with a Y chromosome are immune. Ah. Or an X chromosome. No,
could be seven
without a
up,
Y chromosome are immune.
Oh, the opposite of Y, the last man.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that really, in the issue, when I was reading it, I was like, okay, they're all standing there together. Why all of a sudden is she not one of them, too?
Yeah, well, Jeremy said she might become one.
Maybe the Matrix chose them because of their ability to overcome great fear.
No, wrong. That's not
right. Okay.
I thought it might be because of intelligence, but the Ronnie was...
Well, that was always part of it, was that Ronnie, that was a limitation to the character. He could do whatever he knew. He could change
that's why he has Stein.
Right, but he doesn't have that.
And at one point, they get separated, and that's the whole point, is once they're separated, Ronnie, it's like, power of God, can't do anything with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think I'll miss from the book, is the whole multiple personality in one character. You know, because even mm-hmm. Roush had somebody stuck in his head right before.
Yeah, but maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe it's going to be this guy. And
maybe
who knows?
The chick is stuck in her head. Wasn't there four people standing there when the...
Well, yeah. the one was killed.
She wasn't killed. She
no,
came,
not her.
There was another dude there.
Well, that was the doctor.
The dude was shot in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. He got
the football
shot
player.
Yeah.
The black
Yeah, the other girl, the one girl was alive, but something happened to her. And then the other one so far appears as though nothing happened.
Right, but that's why there's more issues to come. Yeah. Okay, next up, Green Lantern Corps New Guardians.
So happy to see Kyle Rayner.
I like that it starts off with his origin, showing where he came from.
No idea when this book actually takes place.
It takes place now. That scene in the bar was in the past when he first got the ring. That was showing. They did. Yeah, I was a little confused. But yeah, that was basically, that was redoing.
I don't know why they're choosing not to do that, really, at the time.
That wasn't.
Oh, they do have something that says the present day once they conclude.
So who knows when that is, though?
Gantt has a Green Ring in this, so that only happened. That happened after Kyle Rayner was a Green Lantern.
Yeah, he lost the ring.
Right. See, this all happened. I'm just looking on the first page. That all happened when Hal went nuts as Parallax,
right,
and wiped everybody out.
Gantt gives him the ring. He's wearing a Green Ring himself when he goes to Kyle in the bar.
Gantt is.
Gantt has a ring on.
I don't think he has a ring on.
I don't think so. No, that's the ring he's giving.
That's the ring he's giving.
See, I thought he was holding his hand up.
No, that's the ring he's giving.
I was confused.
Yeah, and there's no ring.
But he has a green circle around him.
He has a ring. That's just to the...
That's his power.
That's
and
his
he's
power.
Making him fly.
Yeah, but then he realizes he can do it himself. But then it switches to the present day. I like that it recapped that from... You know, a while ago, that probably, you know, most of the current readers haven't read. Then it just got a little confusing at the end, you know, and I guess you're supposed to be confused why are all the rings abandoning their people. I mean, obviously that's the setup. I want Kyle to get a haircut that's, doesn't have to be super neat, but he shouldn't be that scruffy. Just my opinion.
He's going for the Wolverine.
Yeah, at some point. It's like, look at this last page, it's just very...
I'm not a big fan.
Humberto Ramos.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan always been bad.
What?
It's Bat's inking, right?
Yeah, it is Bat inking.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember who was inking and who was drawing. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Tyler Kirkham's art.
Yeah, they came out of the whole drawn kind of like Mark Silvestri.
Yeah.
You know, working with Mark Silvestri. They came out of that school, you know, that group.
It definitely looks like all those books. It does. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Definitely looks like all that image stuff.
But I think it's funny that for as much as I have raged against all the different Lantern Corps lately, and not to the point of being Red Lantern, but to the point where I'm saying, you know, I don't want to hear any more stories about the Lantern Corps, that this is the one Green Lantern book where I was like, all right. Like, and I think it's probably just because I love Kyle Rayner.
Yeah.
That, like, he is, you know, everyone has that character that is that, you know, specific incarnation of the character. You know, like, Wally West will always be my Flash, and Kyle Rayner will always be my Green Lantern. And,
child.
Yes, I'm a little kid.
Who's your Robin?
I don't know anymore. Dick, I love Dick.
Come on.
But
it's got to be Tim Drake.
Yeah, I'm a Tim Drake fan.
Jason Todd.
Dick. Jason Todd. You read that year.
Yeah. Robin when he's dead.
Was he only Robin for a year?
No, I don't know how long. It wasn't long, though.
I like this more, just enough more than Green Lantern Corps for me to say that I liked this more than Green Lantern Corps. But this is definitely one I'm going to pick up.
I agree. I thought it was better than Green Lantern Corps. Mm-hmm. And I think, again...
At least by a hair, yeah.
It all has to do with the main character.
Yep.
I really like Kyle.
Awesome.
Like, after the first third of the book, I was thinking, all right, I'm going to email Colin and say I'm going to drop this. And then...
Well, that was all the origin of the first third.
Yeah, and then two-thirds of the way, and I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick with this, so I'm going to get rid of Green Lantern Corps, because it was definitely better than that.
I think... Maybe what it is about the other Lantern Corps that I like is that they're finally... They seem to be working together, and it seems like this series might push the relationship of all the different corps forward instead of the stalemate that Johns has kept them at for so long, which I understand was necessary for Blackest Night and they kind of teamed up in Blackest Night, but not really, you know, so.
Never really paid off either in Blackest Night. Or in the whole Brightest Day, they were working together.
It didn't really go
for anymore. A secret mission that never really, at least in my memory.
Brightest Day was a train wreck that you just couldn't stop.
Yeah.
It's like when you're watching the news and you're like, oh, that's so horrible. But you won't change the channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up next. Oh, God, I got to keep watching.
Yeah. Who's is the least favorite Green Lantern here?
John Stewart.
But see, so many people love him from the cartoon.
Yeah, I don't mind him. I think that's why I like him.
A lot of people, that is their Green Lantern.
I'm not a big fan of Guy Gardner.
Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to be.
I like Guy Gardner.
But, I mean, he's supposed to be not that likable. You know, just
I don't even know how he could really become a Green Lantern, though. He doesn't fit the, like, the rest of them have this feel to him that make them feel like the Green Lantern. He feels like he should probably be a Red Lantern.
Well, he was for a time.
Yeah, but I feel like he should have just
Mogo saved him. Now there's no Mogo. Or is there is Mogo Hal?
Huh?
Your least favorite Hal?
I don't know. I like Hal. In the comics, my least favorite would be John, because it seems in the comics they can't figure out what to do with him. He was so great.
You must build this building according to spec.
Yeah. Like in the Justice League cartoon, he was a great character. He's one of my favorite characters on that show.
Yeah.
Especially with the whole subplot with him and Hot Girl. And then in the comics, they just can't... What?
I heard Hot Girl.
In the comics, they just can't seem to figure out what to do with him, which kind of bugs me, because he was so prominent in that show, and he had great, you know, great storylines. He did stuff in the episodes. Like, it wasn't like he was just there as, like, the sidekick Justice Leaguer just because, you know, and for some reason, I think it's the Hal overshadowing him. You know, they have to make Hal the main Green Lantern. Instead of all four of them changed.
Especially because of the movie, too. Yeah. And now they're doing that a lot.
For a while, it seemed like he had a place. When Hal Jordan was dead, when he was the Spectre.
Yeah.
And then it was like there was a run where Jon Stewart was in the actual Justice League shortly after issue 100.
He was characterized.
And then
was he?
Awesome. Guy Gardner kind of played a supporting role to Kyle in the Green Lantern book.
Yeah.
But it seems like they threw these two characters into their own book. Like, they were just what do we do with them? They throw them into the, you know, a group that...
Well, I think Hal and Kyle are, like, the clear Head and Shoulders favorites for Green
Lantern. I think that's why, because they both got their own kind of books, because really this is his book.
Right.
It's Kyle's book, and Hal has, well, kind of his own book, but...
So this is going to sound weird, because I've been a Green Lantern fan for as long as I can remember. And I know leading up to this, I was like, I'm hoping for a little bit of a change here with this relaunch and stuff. Not, I understand they're going with Green Lantern. They're staying with what has come before, and just, you know, it's just like a continuation of it. But for some reason, the three issues this month, I really didn't care for any of them.
Okay.
I thought they were all just disjointed throughout the whole issue. Like, they'd be going on, the train of thought would get lost halfway through.
Have you not been reading the before that, though? Before the New 52?
Yeah, I've been reading Green Lantern since I was young.
So you've been reading
it. Well, it seems to have lost track of where it's going.
I think they're trying to make it so it fits the New 52, so it's kind of new for different people, but they're also trying to keep it the same for people that have already been reading it as well, because there's a lot of that. There's some things that are new, but some things you have to look back at.
That were, it's not break.
Yeah.
It's not fixing.
Yeah.
It's not broke. It's
not break.
It's not break.
I won't break it.
Me not.
Okay. English.
Now, the one thing I can't remember from the previous Green Lantern, you know, stuff. What's her face?
Please.
The Star Sapphire. No, the Star Sapphire.
Fatality.
Yeah.
Isn't she dead?
No, she was alive at rebirth or recharge.
I thought she died after that, though.
I thought she was, like, going to, and then that was when the Star Sapphire claimed her.
Nick!
You're thinking you're on the right track, but I think like she died, she was Star Sapphire.
That sort of took me by surprise when I turned that page and it was her, and I'm like,
I don't quite remember when she became a Star Sapphire either.
One of those. It was almost against her will. She was taken.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Star Sapphires do.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Orange Lantern come into this series. I'm a big Larfleeze fan.
Yeah. Well, I think on the cover, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not Larfleeze, it's one of his constructs, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, it's
Glomulus.
Yeah, Glomulus. I like Glomulus.
Who does?
And to be honest, I thought Fatality was a new character. I thought it was just somebody they introduced in the book.
Didn't she have something to do with John?
She's John Stewart's kind of arch villain, because I believe she's a native of the planet.
Yeah. She okay. That was the whole thing. After he accidentally let Zanshi get blown up, she followed him and was like,
I'm going to shoot. She's the left. Two planets now?
Yeah, yes. What a jerk,
she,
huh?
She played a big part, too, while Kyle was...
Well, yeah, it started out that she hated Jon Stewart, and then that just translated over into, I hate all Green Lanterns.
Right.
Yeah. So Kyle's really not one because the Guardians are afraid of him.
Right, but I'm just saying. Being silly. I'll stop. Sorry. Okay. Next up, a book.
Oh, no,
Spider-Man.
Are we getting off?
We'll get there. Oh. We'll get there.
I didn't read it yet, so I can't.
I'm going to ruin it for you. This next book, it was funny. When it first was announced, it's iVampire. And when it was first announced, I'm like, okay. And then you saw the cover, and I went, And then I've been reading on Twitter. Everybody who's read it is just raving about it, leading up to all the creators who've read advanced copies and stuff are just raving about it. I'm like, okay. And I read it, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. Vampires declaring war on humans, lovers for 400 years on opposite sides. You know, she's saying, don't come after, you know, don't try to stop me, but if you do, you know, it's useless, but if you do, I'll love you even more for it. I mean, just... So when they said vampire romance, everybody's thinking Twilight. But, and it's... But it, you know, definitely is the romantic aspect. Yeah. But man, is it a horror book too? I mean, I love that when he's talking to the guys, like they're all behind me, aren't they? Yeah, they are. Yeah, just I can't wait for the next one. I just wish mine weren't damaged.
It was like one issue and no background, and yet it was like heartbreakingly good. Like,
yeah,
like just, you know nothing about the characters. But it's like you can already tell that that's like a tragic love story of epic proportion.
Yeah. Like the only thing I didn't like was their word boxes, for better word.
Yeah.
The colors were a little too close in it. You couldn't immediately tell who was talking. Yes. Other than that, I think it
took
was
me.
Weird.
And actually, when I was about halfway through before I figured out that they were two different.
Yeah.
And so I had to go back.
Yeah, they were a little too close in color.
Yes. I don't know if that's like a printing thing or if someone's colorblind.
No, that's a printing thing. But and yeah, if Jay Lee ever gets hurt, jump right in and start doing the covers on Wolverine.
Right. This was my other big surprise of the week. This and Aquaman, and like you said, like this was the book that everyone razzed on for saying like, why is this in the New 52? And this is one of those books that has such a distinctive voice, and it's so great, and I don't see why people wouldn't be reading this book. I mean, I can understand, like, if you don't like vampires, that's cool, you know. Obviously, if it's a taste thing, but, I mean, if you like vampires and you like... Huh?
Taste. Vampire.
Oh, I didn't notice that. you know, I mean, if you like vampires and you like sort of tragic stories, this is...
I'll say I don't like vampires. Really? I love this book.
I don't... See, that's interesting, because I don't mind vampires. Like, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. It's either, like, they're done well and I like it, or they're not done well and I'm just not going to participate in that form of entertainment. Whereas I thought this was just really great. And, like you said, I love the love story. I love the art. The art really goes with it. I love that they're creepy vampires that have, like... non-traditional vampire powers. I like that, you know, she's like, I'm in the sun, why aren't I dying? And he's just like, well, the sun just weakens you and dampens your powers. It doesn't kill you. And she's like, oh, but I thought... And you know, so
but then the twist where she, like, runs away and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't read this book at all, but I have to say something about vampires. I have to say that for me to read a vampire book, though... It has to be written well. They have to write vampires well. And I think vampires really are a hard thing because they go back so far that always... Well, there's always going to be that one person who's read vampires and going to be like, oh, that can't happen because vampires can't do this because I read this like back then. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's been a hard thing with me that I'm just like, I can't really get into vampires for that reason.
But this is two very good vampire books DC's putting out right now.
You made this joke, though, and if he was writing X-Men, we'd all be salivating like, X-Men plus vampires. Why didn't anybody think of this before?
because if it was well written, if it was Hulk versus this vampire, it would be a good
story.
So the X-Men I read
I'm
don't fight
vampires too, and I hate zombies as well. And I think, like, I love I Zombie, even though I hate the zombie genre, because I don't think that it's a book about zombies. It's a book with a story that has a zombie. And I think this is a book with a plot and a story and everything in it just so happens the characters are vampires.
Yes.
It's not a vampire book. It's not a Richard Gish or X-Men. It's not Twilight.
Yeah.
And yes, I compare those two. I think they're in the same boat. This is a good book that happens to have vampires.
Yes. I think the best horror is that the best written horror stories are stories where the external antagonist or villain or whatever it is that makes it horrific isn't what the story's about. Like you said, like, this isn't a story about vampires. This is a story about two people who've been in love with each other and now they're having a lot of problems and probably have been for a while, and how do they reconcile that? And the horror...
That's a lot of marriage counseling.
Yeah, 400 years worth of marriage counseling.
The money of that, the cost of that alone would be a horror story.
A little things like the guilt because he created her, but now he doesn't want her to act and she wants to take it to the vampirism to the next level. And his guilt and trying to stop and just a lot in one book.
Did
you
say early on that if you killed the sire, you killed the... Or the
But he said, yes.
So couldn't that guy just kill himself and put this all over in like two issues?
You mean like kill the prime?
No, because he said he had to kill everybody else first, and then he could kill himself.
Oh, so he used to go back up the tree.
Yeah.
I thought it was just.
Well, like, I think it's more his crusade against vampires.
Yeah.
As long as vampires exist, he can't kill himself. As soon as he's killed them all.
So a real blaze kind of.
Do you have to kill them in that order? Like go backwards?
I don't know.
Instructions.
Okay, I was gonna say if somebody kills a vampire in the middle, that's not him. Then he's screwed.
Well,
this brings. Like the best elements of the original Bram Stoker Dracula, it was like the gothic romance. Like Dracula, the way Bram Stoker wrote him is a horribly tragic, complex, romantic figure, and that seems to be exactly what's being set up here. Like,
and you guys all know I love Josh Felkoff, and I think, and this is going to sound weird, but I think one of the best things about him, he has not signed an exclusive deal.
Okay.
He has an ongoing with DC, he has an ongoing with Marvel that he's co-writing, and he has, like, a couple Image books right now. And I think that's great. I really hate when you see somebody like Scott Snyder go and sign an exclusive with DC, because he can write a lot of good Marvel books or a lot of good Image books, but we're not going to see that, for at least for a while. And I just think that's really cool that Josh hasn't done that. Hopefully he's been offered them and turned them down and not...
Well, you know the half the reason you sign those as a comic book creator.
Guaranteed money, health insurance.
You know, insurance. So,
I guess the other thing I liked about the book was the justification for why these vampires haven't done anything big in the past 400 years, and it ties into the love romance thing, you know, where he convinced her not to go on this bloody crusade against the humans, and then at the end she says, or in her letter she says, you know, we let our planet be taken by aliens and superhumans. It's time to take it back. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like how that's going to fit in.
Yeah, I was just saying one of the other things I liked about it was it didn't have a lot of superheroes by him. But that was really the only tie-in. Like,
but it was enough that they acknowledged it. Yeah. They didn't, they acknowledged the universe, that this takes place in a place that doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, we've completely ruined that book for you.
What?
We put out every, like, spoiler. I mean,
that's why we're doing... I read it. I read them all, man.
You, the audience. The
yes.
You were looking right at Colin.
Well, look at the microphone. Next time. Yeah. You can't see.
I hope we don't ruin it for
you. But yeah, no, I'm I'm hoping most of the people listening either
I hope we made them want to go get it.
Yeah, it's impossible to do this spoiler.
Where did I get it?
I think it's funny that we're sitting here talking about how we are not big fans of vampires, but then we named like four vampire books. Vampires get a raw deal. Vampires are a blank slate, and if a good writer likes them, they're a ruined vampire. You know what, though? On a side note, Twilight is not really about vampires. It's about a romance between a younger woman and her desire to be with an older man.
But nobody mentioned Morbius. Well,
he's a living vampire.
Yeah,
he's, totally
he's not really a vampire. He's like turned into something like a vampire.
New York.
Interesting, the new law changes.
That was actually Anne Rice's take on Twilight.
And congratulations to Joe Fellow, recently engaged member of the podcast.
Joe F., don't give his name.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
My secret identity.
No.
And you heard it here first, not even on my Facebook page.
He was just saying that he's a good fellow.
Hope you told the fans.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Well, next up,
this is from Canada.
Yeah, apparently. Up next, probably the one book I was most looking forward to when all this came out.
What? Maybe that's what you're engaged to.
Justice League Dark. That was the one when I just saw the lineups and everything. I just went, I can't wait to read this one. It wasn't great, but I thought it was good, and I like where it's going. I said it was nice and screwy. I like the art. I know some people have said they didn't like the art. I like the art. I love
the backgrounds in the scenery. Okay. It's just the way she drew, or he drew people.
She, I think. Wait, a female creator?
No, she was one I didn't know. That was
Okay.
Is it Michael Janin? Mikkel Janin?
I just didn't like the way the humans looked in it, the characters themselves. Okay. But I thought the backgrounds and the scenery were just gorgeous.
Okay. I liked how it included the Justice League in it and showed why they couldn't work in a situation like this, and this group was needed. I liked that, and it definitely seemed to follow from Secret 7, which I might have to read again. Because
this is, like, tied together pretty
tightly? I think so. Well, I think so, because you had the Enchantress. Something happened to the Enchantress in the Secret 7 mini. You had Shade definitely being involved. So a lot of it were, you know, I was reading it just going, what? You know, the fake girl melts, and it was like just, okay, cool. You know, it's Milligan, so I'm ready to take just about anything he's going to throw at me.
Wolverine was in this book. I mean, Batman was in this book.
But just overall, I was very happy. Jonah Hack. This is what I'm already hit. I'm going to be on this one for the long haul, so it didn't have to do a whole lot to get me.
That was a joke, because Batman's in way too many books this month.
He has at least 10.
Oh.
I really like Justice League Dark.
He's not on every team like Wolverine.
I thought it was really great. I mean, I figured I was going to get it because I'm getting the other two Justice League titles. I like game books, but I like...
But I liked how a team tied into the Justice League. Yeah. It wasn't just, well, this is a group of supernatural people. We'll call them Justice League Dark.
I like how Xanadu summons Shade, and he's like, I don't know. You're wrong guy. I'm going to leave now. Bye. And she's like, no, you don't understand. Like, we tried this. And he's like, call the Justice League. And she's like, we did. They messed up. Your turn. He's like, oh, crap. And... Yeah, I don't know anything about Shade. I don't really know a whole lot about John Constantine. I don't know a lot about those characters, but I like what I've seen. Like, what I know of them played into this, and I thought these were really great introductions. I liked that Shade, you know, the kind of that twist where they show you him with this woman, and she's begging him not to go, and then she starts melting, and, you know, it's the fact that he can't have this stable relationship, and it's played out in the fact that he has to create one, or try to create what he thinks would be one for himself. I like that in his character, so I want to see where that goes. How is that going to affect his team dynamic? You know, is he going to be able to work with these people if he can't even find a real person to spend his time with? I like Zatanna, just because I always like Zatanna.
I like her new look.
Yeah, I think it's fine. A lot of people were
complaining about it early on.
I just didn't like her look on the cover.
Right, and that's all anybody saw was the cover. Nobody, they hadn't shown any interior pages.
I'm excited to see where this goes. I liked the, I don't want to say Dead Man cameo, I guess it's more of Dove cameo. You know, where the copy of that woman shows up and says that she's looking for a dead man. You kind of see, I like how they portrayed that. I like that he was just kind of standing in the corner, even though no one could see him anyway, he's even still kind of hiding.
Right. My bold statement on this is it's the best Justice League book in the New 52 right now.
Really?
It was definitely better than JLI. I mean, JLI is not even in the same country.
No, it's not, You know what? I might agree with you, depending upon how John's Justice League turns out.
I think it was the best first issue.
Yes, I'll agree with you on that one.
I mean, John's and Justice League have a good potential.
Yeah, it's a building potential.
This was just out of the gate fantastic.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Justice League, I don't think it gave me enough to really say I dislike it or like it. Because it has more to it. I think that they're going to have more to it.
And I think the best part of Justice League was released early on in that preview book. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a movie where you see all the best parts in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, disagree. The best part was when Batman stole Hal Jordan's ring without him even...
Yeah, I did like Zatanna binding Batman in this, too, to kind of protect him from himself.
Mm-hmm.
Then you said Zatanna's look is different. She's still dressed like a magician?
She has pants. She has her fishnets are...
I always liked her being dressed as a magician.
But she has fishnet gloves and...
I think it's interesting they gave her the white corset, though, now, too. I mean, she used to have, like, the white shirt for, like, the stage performer outfit. But they've kind of tied that in now. She has the white corset. She still has the top.
She's missing the Justice League color.
Yeah. Now this is for Nick. But after finishing watching all the Arrested Development episodes, when I saw Batman get bound like that, I just heard him going, "Come on!" So it was just a constant theme in Arrested Development. Yeah, so I heard him saying that. So
I will say that I was really looking forward to this and didn't like it as much as I thought I would.
Was it good, or you just had really high expectations? Or
no,
was it
it's not
bad?
Even that I had high expectations. If you remember when we were talking about Red Lantern, I said there are two types of Peter Milligan stories. This was a little more of that other type. Not as bad as some of the other stuff I've read of his that I just couldn't follow. Like, I could definitely follow this, but, like, the madness and sanity stuff with Shade it really just didn't do it for me. It's not that I thought it was poorly written or that he wasn't a complex character. It was, I don't know, I was hoping, I really wanted to like this because I thought a lot of these characters were cool, but it didn't hook me as much as I thought it would.
That's how I felt about All-Star Western, to be honest. It just wasn't there. It wasn't my thing, really.
Yeah. And I
agree 100% with Jeremy on this. It was something I was really, really looking forward to, and it just the final product didn't live up to what I wanted it to be at all. Not even close. Being someone who read the whole Madame Xanadu Vertigo, issues and stuff, it's like a completely different person.
Okay.
I mean, she only had two scenes in the book, right? I mean, the real early on and then when she was talking to Shade. I mean, it really didn't develop her.
But in the book, they she's like, in the book, and I guess it's because I've read some of the upcoming issues of upcoming issues of Justice League Dark, but she's like the focal point,
she's the one who's bringing X.
Yeah, she's like the Professor X of this group, and if you read her in the Vertigo series, she's nothing like that. She's like in this. She's just portrayed in this as, like, really, really powerful. And that's not how she's portrayed.
Saw her as kind of the seer seeing the future and trying to bring this group together. Okay.
In the Vertigo stuff, she doesn't do that.
Hmm. Now, was she created for the Vertigo stuff, or is she...
No, she's been around.
Was she, like, in Shadow Pact, or...
No, she was, like, in, I think, House of Mystery.
Way
back in the day.
I will say, though... And Justice League Dark really reminded me of this, that if anything, this relaunch has made me more interested in Vertigo stuff and other books that I would never have read before, just because I didn't really have a latching on point.
I bought 5 hardcovers of Alan Moore, Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I bought one of those Swamp Thing softcovers. I'm getting more into, like, I want to know more about Madame Xanadu. I want to know about House of Mystery.
I bought the first 6 Morrison Ant-Man or Animal Man stories when they were on sale on Comixology.
That's kind of cool.
Buy it through Pittsburgh Comics websites.
It was actually weird reading Madame Xanadu in this and reading Madame Xanadu in Demon Knights, too.
I don't remember if there was a lot of a difference between her and
See, in the first trade of the Vertigo series and stuff, it goes through her history, starting back with Merlin and then goes up through. And, like, in Demon Knights, she's, like, a lover with...
That's right, okay.
Correct. Yes,
and stuff. In the Vertigo books, in that first thing, she sees him in the woods. And she runs away because she's petrified, terrified of him.
But do we know how much... Well, I guess the real question I was going to say, do we know how much time takes place between then and Demon Knights? But the real question, I think, would be, does what came before even factor into what's going on
in
Demon Knights?
And I will also say DC has never put much stock in carryover on the characters that have transitioned between Vertigo and mainstream DC. Vertigo is just a whole other ball of wax. Like, it's creator-driven stories, and they have a lot more freedom to just take a character by name and do whatever they want to it. So I would, I understand if that's your only familiarity, that this is very different, but that is something that's been going on for a real long time.
I don't know if any of you guys have gone on to, this is a side note, completely outside of Justice League Dark or anything, but I don't know if any of you guys have gone on to Comixology to update your pull list on there. I did, I don't know if you got the updates or not.
and stuff, they are listing Swamp Thing, Justice League Dark and stuff under Vertigo.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
That just
might be a categorization. For
I know it was just weird. I was looking for Swamp Thing and I couldn't find it. I'm like, where is it? I want to add this. You know, I want to subscribe to this. Yeah. What is it? It's on there as Vertigo.
I usually see everything because when I'm on there, I select like the, you know, I see everything from a certain publisher for the whole month. So
I just look at that once a week.
Right.
If I looked at it every day, I'd go and see.
Yeah,
the updates.
One day I was like, maybe I'll just browse through and see what's coming out next month. Maybe I'll be interested in something from another publisher. And there's so much stuff that's coming out that I was just like, I don't have time to do this.
Yeah. That's why I didn't have trouble reading it.
I didn't work because I really had nothing else to do.
Don't say that. It's recorded.
You and your yoo-hoos every day.
Yes.
What's a
word? So you don't know who's leaving that there?
Oh, I know who's
leaving. Okay.
I do now.
Do you know what's in the yoo-hoo?
Yeah,
being left there. I think that's an important question.
Why?
They're unopened, completely unopened users.
A whole case today, right?
Lot for you.
Yeah, 12 packs today.
Well, we'll let you start with the next one. Jeremy, Savage Hawkman.
Oh, I loved it. I love Hawkman. He's one of my favorite characters. And like Matt said, I would buy a Hawkman book just to make sure there's a Hawkman book out there. So while it was drastically different from the Carter Hall I previously knew and loved, and the characterization wasn't quite there, I was just happy to have a Hawkman book. And it will be interesting to see where it goes. It's definitely a new take.
With the new take, you know, I thought, with all the New 52, I thought I knew the DC Universe. I thought I knew these characters. I thought I knew the type of storytelling being told. But it's like they flipped it, you know? They flipped it to something completely different, something totally unexpected. And with the case of Hawkman, you know, a new take on the character. And, you know, I can get on board with Indiana Jones versus aliens with bird weapons.
Yeah.
Well, the old Carter Hall was an archaeologist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then when... I don't know, when was that? The Silver Age, I guess, when they made it the alien, and then they tried to merge the two, and I don't think that ever really worked out well.
The armor was like Egyptian, not alien.
It's been both.
It's been both. The origin that I know is from the Justice League cartoon, which is that it was alien.
Well, that's canon.
But most of what I know about comics started with that. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's basically with Hawkman, I think it's to the point where everything's so convoluted that it doesn't matter, which is why I like that they didn't try and touch on the origin in this issue.
Just, there's nth metal. We don't know what it does. Even he doesn't know all its powers, and all of a sudden now...
Don't burn it, whatever
it is. Yeah, don't burn it or shoot it.
Yeah.
Shooting it is bad. It makes it angry.
No,
stop it.
Phoenix Force. It triggers the Phoenix Force.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
Or the Hawk Force. There we go.
I thought this was really great.
I thought it was good. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
The art I found totally, I don't want to say bizarre, but it's like you can see the pencil work, and then you wonder how much of this was the colorist.
Well, see, I'm
especially that splash.
I was really
well. That is, but a lot of them, just like even the shading and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell he didn't draw all those different shades on the face. So it's almost like, and this is a case where the colorist is part artist.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
See, you just offended a whole lot.
No, but so many of them.
That's actually more telling of what's going on these days with all the Photoshop art.
Well, yeah.
I think it's really interesting because the Philip Tan stuff that I've seen before was his arc in Batman and Robin, and that whole arc was almost just, like, every page was just blackness and shadows. And I was surprised to see this style is just so much different from what I saw there. And I like both of them. I liked what he did in Batman and Robin, but I love this. I actually love this more than what he did in Batman and Robin. I think this is great. It's kind of textured. It's that watercolory kind of
watercolory. Yes,
and I like it. I think it's great. I think it fits, and I like that even though he was like, "Screw this, I'm never going to be Hawkman again," he's still that courageous person. He's going to try and save people, which, I mean, all the heroes and all the books are going to do that. That's kind of a trope, but it worked. I thought it worked here, and it was good. I liked it a lot.
I'll be the dissenter again. Thought it was boring. Didn't think anything really happened in the book.
There was a huge fight. Alien guy is turning black.
Yeah.
He's guy trying to suck his life out.
He's not invited anymore in the podcast.
Stuff happens.
Come on.
Hawkman fought Venom.
I told you the definitive Hawkman to go after.
Yeah, I know. But to me, this is a book that may or may not get dropped from my list. Pretty quickly. I mean, I'll give the second issue a shot, but
this actual book was like a common theme for me this week. Wasn't terrible, wasn't great. I could go either way with it.
Yeah, to me this week there were no great books and there were no bad books.
Yeah.
There were some really good books, there were some books, but there was nothing great or bad. There was no Batman.
Vampire was head and shoulders above most.
It was by far the best book, I think, this week.
Yeah.
But, I don't think it came close to Batman.
Not Batman last week, no, but I'm going to say I find it better than above the line, if you're going to put them good, you know.
And I think Aquaman, though, it was good just because you wanted to see that new type of what they were going to do with a character that, you know, that nobody liked. So I think that was why I liked it so much, that I really thought it was good.
Well, no, because
it was
on. We're not done. We still have three books to go.
I still like the Nithmiddle, though, attached to him now.
Yeah.
I thought that
was an interesting way to do it. Because, I always wondered, when did he run and strap on the wings and find his helmet? You know, it's...
He was hanging out with Tony Stark.
Yeah, so I kind of like that. But next up is a book that genuinely surprised me. I thought I wasn't going to like it at all, which is Superman. Nothing against Superman. I've just never been interested in Superman for a while. And I liked all the beats that the book hit. I felt, after reading it, it was like there was a lot that went on there. Now, granted, you don't know who the bad guy was, or if it was even a bad guy, or what it was. But there was a whole lot of story there. And I went right from that to reading Hawkman. And I was like, that's it? When it came to the end of Hawkman, I'm like, because there was a lot there setting up a lot of the dynamics of the characters. I liked how it used the Clark Kent newspaper piece to kind of describe what was going on. I thought that was an interesting way to not necessarily describe what was going on, but to show what they were trying to show, the difference between print and, you know, just showing the digital with the guy talking in the background, kind of showing how a newspaper story could give more depth to what had happened. Stuff like that. Kind of liked it.
I didn't think about it that way.
That's how I read it.
I'm going to go back and reread this issue.
Okay.
Because
everything was showing Clark all angry at the demise of print, basically.
Right. My initial rating of this issue after I read it, I was just like, why? Like, I love Superman, but I just felt like this had a lot of needless exposition, and I was at first frustrated by the newspaper stuff, because I was like...
Okay, see, that's how I was reading it.
Like, that didn't even occur to me, and that's why I want to go back and reread it now, because maybe it just went over my head, maybe I missed the point, because I was like, instead of saying, and here's his super breath that he used last week, maybe just show me that.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of show, not tell. But I, now that you're spinning it that way with the difference between the print and the digital, which was an issue in the book, that's something I might have to go back and reread.
And it's kind of a really cool thing, because the whole print, digital, metatextual, everything, but it really comes down also to the core of Superman.
Right.
Because that's the one thing, it's like, you want to update Superman for the 21st century, and yet every time they do that, they still have to work around... OMG, Clark Kent's a newspaper reporter, print is dead, what are we going to do?
Right.
How do you make Clark Kent relevant?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was cool that, that was something they just kind of addressed right out of the gate and seemed to do a pretty good job of doing.
Yeah.
My problem was less the, and I have to say this, like, most of the 52 changes, like Clark and Lois not being married, I haven't been bothered by that many. But it kind of irritates me that Jimmy Olsen is no longer a redhead, freckle-faced kid with a bow tie. He's a Justin Bieber clone.
That's something that can easily change in the second issue, so...
But it's just
red hair. But you also probably read that on Bleeding Cool before you even read the book.
No, I actually saw it, and I thought... What it was is I read the book, and I thought... There's something very odd about Jimmy.
Yeah, I did too.
Like, it struck me, I'm like... Because it took me a second to even figure out it was Jimmy. And then when it was, I was like, he just doesn't look like Jimmy. And then, yes, I did go back and see that. And I was like, that actually is it. He's not...
And the only way I really knew it was Jimmy was because he had a camera.
Yeah. But again, that's something...
And then she said it was Jimmy, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it's Jimmy.
I agree with you. There was a whole lot of stuff going on in this issue. And I like the stuff that... I like that Daily Planet got bought by Galaxy, simply because that's going to be a huge plot point. I know that's going to carry over for a long time, because Morgan Edge has always been a villain. I'm interested to see where they take that. Are they going to do the twist now, or maybe he's not as villainous as they think he is,
or Clark thinks he is?
But yeah, he first popped up in the Jack Kirby stuff. He was part of Inner Gang, helping Darkseid and Apocalypse infiltrate Earth in the Jimmy Olsen
stories. The other thing I loved, and this is kind of...
So he's been around a while.
Kind of across the board with the New 52. You know, to Matt's point about Batman being in every book, you've seen the Joker, you've seen Two-Face... seen all these people, and like Lex Luthor has been on panel like for like one or two panels.
He was in like two or three pages of Action One, number one.
That's it. Yeah. And this is Lex Luthor. It almost makes me kind of tingle thinking there's something big.
He's like, up to no good.
Yeah. Like, by not seeing him in any of DC's books,
hiding behind the panels, like
he's up to no good.
Working.
He's cooking up another land grab plot.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just
the one thing they're not making anymore.
He's stealing pies, right?
What?
Isn't he stealing pies?
Man, that's so obscure.
That's as many as 4/10.
So I thought, when I was done reading this book, I felt like I read a below average Silver Age book. It was very dense, very slow.
Yeah.
Man,
lots of exposition.
I think there was a lot of stuff they were trying to get out there.
I think this proves, for 98% of the time, artists shouldn't write books.
You are tough.
Yeah, you are pretty tough.
I agree with this because I didn't love the book. Now, what Colin said makes me want to go back and give it another chance, but when I first read the book, I was just like, yeah, I agree with everything you said. I was just like... Why? This is not the Superman book that I wanted to read.
I think artists tell stories better with pictures than they do writing, and I just don't think most of them can make the transition. I think Francis Manapul did it well, but David Finch didn't. I mean, he couldn't get a book out on time, regardless of the story. This book, I thought, writing was awful.
Jury's out.
The Ethan Van Sciver thing, I don't know how much he wrote, because it said he was a plotter, and the dialogue was Gail Simone, so... No idea if he actually read anything or if the story idea was just his.
Yeah.
But really, this whole artist as a writer thing is kind of failing, if you ask me.
Well, that's a very long-running thought.
Yeah.
Comics.
Well, I mean, we are, you know, Back to the Future in 1998 or something, 1993 with some of these books, so...
I actually didn't... I was expecting a lot more out of this book. I was really wanting to get into Superman. I liked Action Comics actually better than this book. For a new reader, a new Superman person, I think I could jump on to Action Comics. But with Superman, I still, as has been said a lot, there was a lot of just dialogue. There was a lot going on in one book, and I kept feeling like I was missing something. Like something I should have known or something, but I wasn't sure because I've never read a Superman book before. So... I don't know. It didn't really catch me as a new person, you know, that I was jumping onto something that, you know, I could just jump onto and continue.
Yeah.
So that was my main issue.
If I want to read about print being dead, I'll just go read any comic retailer forum on the internet. I mean,
not retailer, reader.
I will say I enjoyed the Superman number one. I'm a big Superman fan, and if you know Superman, you know, it was an easy read. I didn't feel it was overly dense. I will say, however, that they definitely did a much better job of reintroducing Batman than they did reintroducing Superman. And I do think part of that is just the exposure level.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Batman was in how many books? Whereas really Superman, it's like you get Action, you get this, you get Justice League. And he was in like a few panels of Justice League. So they haven't really shown us a whole lot.
Yeah.
So it's like coming out of this month, I really don't know that I still have a full grasp on...
And I think that has a lot to do with also that I don't think they want to show a lot of Superman until Justice League as well.
Yeah.
Because we haven't really seen a lot of Superman from when he was introduced in the first book that came out of this. So.
As a reader who would, you know, care about money, is if you don't want to show a lot of Superman until you establish him in Action and Justice League, don't put out books until you're ready.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, no, I mean, they're putting him in Superman, but they don't need to show him in other books.
Right. But they showed him in Supergirl, they showed him in JLR.
One panel, but yeah, there might be more of him in the second issue.
Plus, being that Superman, he hasn't been, you know, his old book wasn't very popular, I don't think they want to throw him in like they would throw in, like, Green Lantern or Batman, because those are characters that are really sticking right now with DC.
I agree with you still, Matt. I guess I went into this more thinking, okay, this is Superman's book, you know, Action is... you know, 6 years in the past, and it's an origin, so now this is going to be in the present, and this is going to be what Superman's like now. And Superman was in the book, but he wasn't...
The book wasn't about him.
The book wasn't necessarily about him, which I don't think makes it a bad number one or a bad book. I think maybe my initial...
Just setting up all the supporting people so you know where it's going.
It's like I was saying, after a month, you still don't have a good taste in your mouth of what Superman's like in the new DC universe.
And I think I went into this looking for, I wanted my reintroduction to like modern present day Superman, and I didn't get that, so maybe I was sour.
I think that's a lot of it how it was for me, too.
Yeah. I mean, I liked that it showed Lois Lane. Yeah. You know, she got her promotion, and she's important, and she's doing a lot of things in the company. I still feel like, and I'll update you after I reread it, I just still feel like there's a lot of extraneous dialogue and action going on that distracted me from what Perez is trying to set up with Lois and GBS and Superman. And I was actually really glad that this book didn't come out before Stormwatch. I'll lean in. Because, you know, Stormwatch made this big deal of tying into the events of story redacted, and it was not even a panel. It didn't even deserve to be a tie-in. This is one of those parts where I didn't want the little editor's box that says, "Hey, see Stormwatch number one." And I was like, "Well, I saw Stormwatch number one, and I didn't care then, and I don't care now." Like,
well, and basically, Stormwatch number one said, "See Superman number one."
Yeah, exactly. I was like, "Well, I can't. Give me 3 weeks, and I will." But
it's a circular logic,
right? It just, I feel like maybe this is one of those elements where it seems apparent that all the writers are kind of saying like, oh, this is what I'm doing in my book, and they're like, oh, that's a really cool plot point that actually kind of ties into something that I'm doing, can I pick up on that? You know, like we had the train station in Justice League number one and All-Star Western, we have these similarities between Batman and Nightwing, different things like that that are crossing over in the books, not really crossing over, but they seem connected, whereas this seemed like one of those things where, you know,
we gotta put this somewhere. Exactly.
Paul Cornell was like, oh, and then they find this giant horn in the Himalayas, and Perez was like, oh, I can have an alien blow that horn. And they're just like, okay, sure, why not? And it didn't seem to fit to me. It didn't really add anything.
And I think my reaction while reading it, I turned to that page after everything was going on, and I was like, what? Like, what just happened here? Who's this guy?
Really out of place.
And then when it's like, read Stormwatch, I'm like, no. I'm not going to go back.
By November, those will be the two most important pages in
the world. I know, that's the thing. Like, it's going to be the thing.
Well, this could be a giant crossover, and DC's been lying to us, because there's a lot of tones carrying between the books.
Oh, there's so many.
In fact, one's coming up.
There's a fine line between crossover and interconnectedness, and right now they're still on the side of interconnectedness.
Barely.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean,
there's nothing really to suggest a crossover.
No. It's more like Marvel books in the 80s, where something that happens in one book is referenced in another book, but it's not necessarily like the story leads from book one to book two to book three. They're just in a shared universe, so if something happens in one book, they acknowledge it in another. That's not, to me, a crossover.
But like, what was the book last week where they put quotes in that she was a Supergirl?
Supergirl. Right, and that's not a crossover.
That's
just connecting everything.
Yeah, I just like that showing instead of just random people talking.
But you got Mystery Woman there.
Yeah,
and you can't avoid.
If you go back and look at Marvel in the 80s, the best example is Thor. During Simonson's Thor, he had the casket of ancient winters, right? They open it, and the whole planet Earth is covered in a blizzard. Well, in every Marvel comic book for that month that happened, it was snowing, and people are like, hey, why is it snowing? This is really odd. And there was an editorial note, go see Thor.
See, I would call that a crossover.
But it wasn't because none of those characters helped Thor. And it had nothing to do with the story, other than it takes place
at the same time in the same world.
It's the same universe. That's all it's showing. Yeah. It's all happening in the same universe.
I just don't trust if it was snowing here and we're doing the podcast and somewhere over in West Virginia they're, you know, eating a McDonald's and it's snowing there. I'm not eating a McDonald's, so it's not crossing it.
But if it was snowing in California, then it would be a crossover.
No, like because total different events are going on in California.
What if it's
they're not even dealing with the snow.
All right, let's move on.
We need a whole podcast for this.
You guys can do well.
Perfectly with Superman, because I didn't really get didn't say anything about it, but
Superman.
This is the Superman character I don't like. I'm not a big fan of the ultra-powerful, can't be touched, you know, godlike being.
How are you with Action Comics?
But that's also Sentry in Marvel. Yes. People rip him apart,
right?
Because Superman came first.
Yeah,
I mean that's.
I think that's
it. That's why it is.
They both have big S's on their chest.
See, to me, it's not even a matter of that.
The Marvel Universe doesn't need Superman.
I agree with that, and I hate the character of Sentry too.
Yeah,
I hate characters that are all powerful like this.
On that note, Sean, I'd say that Superman being all powerful is his weakness, okay? And to demonstrate my point, all right, think back to Infinite Crisis. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, they're all arguing. Batman comes right at Superman, and he's like, "Shut up, Superman. The last time that you inspired anybody was when you were dead."
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, he pumped him.
And then Wonder Woman kicked him in the head.
That didn't happen. That was in your fan fiction, Matt.
No, that's Wonder Woman Iron Man, or Ms. Marvel Iron Man.
No, Wonder Woman kicked Superman in the head after she killed Max Lord. What was that in?
Wasn't
that Infinite Crisis? No,
that was in Wonder Woman.
Was amping up to it.
This is in like four books, because I remember reading all that build up the Infinite Crisis, and the same panel is in like...
I like Scott Lobdell.
Wait, didn't he write a book this week?
I think he wrote Teen Titans.
Hey, why don't you run with that one there, Ryan?
Sorry. I didn't want us to get away from that. Scott Lobdell's like really hitting it out of the park with this relaunch. As much as I and the internet have had qualms with Red Hood, Superboy was excellent.
Qualms. Wait till we get to the next one.
Yeah, Superboy was excellent. Despite the irky portrayal of Starfire, the dialogue in Red Hood was good. The first half of Red Hood was at least pretty amazing. Teen Titans, again, I think was just great. He's really going somewhere with this whole Project Nowhere thing, and I think that's great that he has three books to possibly play it out on. I mean, it hasn't been introduced in Red Hood, but it's going somewhere in Superboy and Teen Titans. At the very least, Superboy and Teen Titans are pretty linked. And I liked that...
What would that be, a crossover?
It could be an
interesting.
I know.
One character can do two things. Wolverine has his own book, but he's also in
Avengers.
Uncanny X-Men. No, I'm just saying, but Uncanny X-Men, they're not necessarily a crossover. No,
that doesn't make any sense at all.
Crosses over three books. What would we call that?
Just a common story.
It's like earlier the concept.
So,
it was a crossover.
No. It's a crossover if part one is in Teen Titans, part two
it's
is in Superboy.
It's leading to a crossover, but it's not a crossover.
It's not there yet. Yeah. It's
interconnected.
So what's up with that Teen Titans?
I don't really love Brett Booth's art. I can't get into it. It's a little too sketchy for me, but...
I have a problem with his eyes. I have a problem with his eyes. You're right! I have a problem with his eyes. I never saw it before.
But I thought it was good.
My problem with Brett, his eyes always seem to be a little high, especially if the character has a mask.
You know what? Now that you've mentioned it, I totally
he doesn't know how to center faces with a mask.
There you go.
Colin really doesn't like artist's eyes.
I have a problem with eyes.
I like how he portrayed the Teen Titans characters. I like how he portrayed Red Robin. The thing that I don't know if he's going to touch on, maybe he will, maybe he won't, is why Red Robin was living in an apartment in LexCorp Towers in New York. Like, I don't think if my first thought was if Batman knew this, he'd be pretty upset. Like, what are you doing?
Well, he could be a
Sun Tzu.
Right, exactly. He could
Sun
be
Sun Tzu. Keep your
friends closer, enemies closer.
Yeah.
I did like that Tim. This is kind of getting off of my Batman history fork, but Tim makes a reference when he's looking at the picture of him and Batman, and he says, "Look what you started," in reference to all these superheroes popping up everywhere, which just lends more firewood to my argument that Batman was around previous to this minus 5 years Justice League timeline.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. But I loved Wonder Girl. I love that she doesn't want to call herself Wonder Girl. She seems like this very enigmatic sort of I hate everybody. Get out of my way kind of character.
But I like that. Hey, I wasn't shooting at you.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at me.
Yeah. I liked Kid Flash, just because I think I'll always like Kid Flash. And
what Kid Flash was it?
I think it's supposed to be Bart.
Yeah, I kept thinking Bart. Because of the hair, and I thought he had brown hair before. And
yeah, Wally hair, never would have behaved that way.
No.
That's what I consider me.
Didn't Kid Flash story happen like 4 years ago in New Warriors in Civil War? Like a young punk superhero goes and tries to do something and causes a tragedy.
Well, nobody died in that house fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, somebody died Except in there.
Nobody died. The guy, there was only one guy left, and that's the guy he they got were out. Carrying out. And they were like, "We're
just like shot somehow."
But they were talking.
Truthfully, I don't know how he survived.
They were saying stuff on the news though about teen superheroes.
Yeah, I think they were just saying that's just the trend. Since
they just had sort of Static Shock over there.
But I think the point of that was to make the Teen Titans an organization that isn't.
That's what
lauded by the public. They need to be a little more hidden.
Like Avengers Academy?
Yeah.
No, like Teen Titans.
Like, yeah.
I think they were just saying that there are young superheroes out of control.
Yes.
And when Robin gets them together, they are going to do something good.
Yes. It will be a team.
In any case, I like Kid Flash's characterization for when he's, you know, he's trying to put out the fire, he's running through the house, shutting the doors, and then he gets to the top. And the firefighter's like, have you ever heard of a
backdraft?
Yeah, backdraft. And he's like, what? Oh.
Yeah.
The whole house explodes.
I like how it's delayed that one.
It was cool because it combined Bart the way he was originally introduced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus the Bart
with the
post-Teen Titans after he had matured.
Yeah.
I will say, I kind of missed the mature Bart a little bit because I loved that he had gone through all of that growth and I was never really one for the annoying Bart.
Right.
But I can see why they would bring that back.
Yeah.
Guess what? The recorder's not going.
Oh, my God.
But we only have 4.5 hours to go, so.
One thing that's been throwing me, I really like this book, actually. This is one of the books I was really hesitant about getting to begin with, and I will keep it on my list. The only thing that's been throwing me is... between all of these books, Red Hood, Justice League, and this, Teen Titans, they had a part in Red Hood that they were asking Starfire about people that she knew in the Teen Titans, one of them being Vic. And I couldn't figure that out, because according to this new whole thing, he's not... party of the Teen Titans anymore.
Well, he's not part of this Teen Titans.
Well, that's what someone said. But they haven't created... If he hasn't became Cyborg yet, then he's going to become Justice League then. Yeah. How is he going to be a Teen Titan?
He's not Justice League. He's not,
the timeline is...
But he's going to be in Justice League now. But there could have been a pre... 5 years ago, there could have been...
But he wasn't... But he...
Justice League?
Yeah, he's...
Without the Cyborg?
He's not Cyborg.
Well, obviously, in the next issue, he's going to become Cyborg. Something's going to happen.
But when's he going to become Teen Titans?
If you're in the JLA, why do you go slumming...
Right, but maybe...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, but maybe he's not going to be in the JLA 5 years ago. They're just introducing the character then.
You're saying that he's not going to be on the team yet? Maybe. He might not be on the team, so he might just become.
I'm saying he's going to be on the team now, current, but we don't know.
Adam, what you're missing is that Scarlet Bell was just being a sexist and making Starfire feel stupid because she doesn't remember the people she slept with.
I can see that.
It's really not continuity at all. It's just Scarlet Bell being a jerk.
Yeah.
Sarcasm, please. Not serious.
No, I don't know. Maybe the timelines, they really do. They kind of throw you off.
Yeah, you made that one picture a poster from the Red Hood issue. What are you talking about?
Hey, now, what I do at Kinko's stays at Kinko's.
But of all those books, though, I think between all of those, Superboy and this, I actually like this one the best. And it was cool that they connected as well.
Yeah.
See?
Zaniel's back.
I hate to keep doing this to Ryan, but I'm actually going to disagree with him. Scott Liddell...
You hate to disagree with me? You always disagree with me.
It's fine. But, I'm not getting in the middle of it.
I personally think one of the three books he's writing has been any good.
Yeah.
I really liked Superboy. Red Hood, nothing happened in it.
No,
That stuff like that doesn't really bother me in comics, whether it happens or not. So that it was just outside of the sex and that, there was... no real story.
That whole book, I don't really care.
Right. So why did you like Teen Titans?
There was 5 pages.
I like Teen Titans.
But why didn't you like Teen Titans?
I didn't like it either, to be honest.
Well, I'd be interested to hear why you both didn't like it.
I didn't like Wonder Girl.
Yeah, I didn't like Wonder Girl at all.
Okay.
I think
with this new 52, I'm tired of the team books all coming together the exact same way.
Okay.
One hero happens to run into another hero, or is goes looking for another hero.
Yeah, I understand. And, that's the
and,
common thread they're doing here.
Yeah. I would have liked to see in one of the team books, or team books, at least some kind of different, you know, beginning to it. Mm. I like Red Robin.
Yeah.
And I really like the new costume, his new costume.
Well, I can take him seriously, though. The Rather 2, you really just like, you know.
I heard Alex Ross did not like all of his character designs being reused over and over again. He didn't like that Red Robin was in the DC universe.
But he did that years ago. I don't think he has this. Whatever, that's the name.
I also, sort of like Red Hood, I really didn't think that the story in this was enough to hook me in.
Yeah, right. I can't put a finger all wide and like it. Mm-hmm. It just
didn't sit with you.
Sit well. I mean, reading it, I went and thought, I've only been reading it for 4 years. I thought in my head, there's a reason I've never heard of Scott LaBelle until now.
Well, he's been doing other stuff. I mean, he was big back in Marvel and
the X-Men. But what I'm saying is, there's a reason I've not heard of him. He doesn't have a lot of trades. He doesn't have Scott LaBelle, X-Men on the bus.
Yeah.
There's none of that out there, so I've never really heard of him.
See, this. What my problem with this and Red Hood is, too, is, and I know you posted, Matt posted out there on Facebook the other day, and I don't know if anybody read, I mistook what he was saying at first, and I started going into, about with this new 52, mm-hmm. a lot of people are getting the first issues. So the first issues have to be good enough to hook somebody in.
Right.
And I feel a good portion of them, I won't say all of them, there's been some really outstanding books during this,
uh-huh.
but a good portion of them haven't done enough in the first issue to make me want to care.
I actually think of it different. I think the first, arc is really what I'm, deciding it on. Because I have to have the full story, because right now, I know there's going to be more, because that's just how comics go anymore.
52 books times, 4 to 6 issues.
Yeah.
I'm not paying that to get hooked on a book.
Yeah, and it would be better.
If you've never read comics before, and you went and read this Teen Titan book, you're not going to want to read number 2.
And I'll be honest with you, I think a big portion of it is I was a fan of the original New Teen Titans. Yeah, and this is such a drastic change from that.
Do you mean the 80s or the Johns?
The 80s.
Okay. But I mean, if you haven't read the Johns and everything, it's different characters, different things.
Yeah.
You really think you'd come back, if you've never read a comic or haven't read a comic in 20 years, you think if you picked up that Teen Titan issue, you would read it again? You would come back.
What about the fan that picked up Batman a few weeks ago, or last week, reads it, sees there's 3 Robins, and he's like, who's this middle Robin? I want to know more about this guy. What's he doing? Colin says, go pick up Teen Titans. And they see Tim Drake, Ian Cole, assembling a team, and tearing it up.
Then they see Tim Drake, and they're looking completely different than he does in the other book, and go, who the hell is this character?
Well, you only got one piece.
Hold on. Do you look the same as you did when you were in high school?
This books are taking place at the same time.
But I think the book you only has a touchline.
I think the question is, do you look the same when you're drawn by
the whole character?
I don't personally.
I don't either. Sometimes my eyes aren't aligned.
Yeah. This was like Nightwing and Batman.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson and Batman, and Dick Grayson and Nightwing. One looked 20 years old. The other one looked like he was
just one artist. 15.
You know, that's just an artist.
Yeah, that's just an artist. Yeah. They seem to do that. I said that on Facebook. They seem to do that a lot with Bruce Wayne. That they make him way bigger than I think he should be.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I think that's hard. I don't think it's Dick Grayson that's small. I think Bruce Wayne's just really big for absolutely
I get the sense that Tim Drake's 18, Damian's 9,
I got younger,
Dick Grayson's 21.
I got a little younger out of
I was just saying that in response to your comment about,
I thought you were saying that different because it was...
What about this reading Batman, times. And he's there, and it's not the tux thing, it's the character looks completely different, and if I remember correctly, I don't think they ever actually named him in Teen Titans. So
it seems like
he's got the
and they
suit.
Show
us
and I can understand why.
Well, I know that's Tim, but I mean they never actually say his name in there. So a new reader off the street,
I can see that.
He isn't even going to know that that's the same character that the character is in Batman.
I thought Wonder Girl called him Tim at some point.
I didn't think she even
had understand that you're not calling me.
Did the guy who kind of came in?
But I really like
was that Zaniel?
See, I didn't.
The guy who came in and shot up the place, and then he blew up the place. Didn't he call him Tim? Because for some reason he knew his identity.
I think Daniel, to come after him.
Yeah.
This is so much for my secret identity or something.
Yeah. Which I really think really sucks for Batman because, Tim Drake just throwing his identity out all over the place. So he's like, oh, how do we trace it back? That's Batman.
Well, he does say, my name is Tim Drake.
Yeah, there you go.
Does he?
Okay. I used to be well known as Robin the Boy Wonder.
I can understand if...
No, I didn't come up with the name.
I can understand if you didn't like the book and if it didn't sit well with you, but it seems like your discrepancy with Tim is more so that you just didn't feel that the continuity between Batman and this book didn't carry over.
That was just a response to Joe.
Oh, okay, all right.
I actually said I really liked Red Robin.
Oh, okay, all right.
That was one character I did like.
Yeah, it feels like to me, though, like, between the two books, it feels like a soap opera when you're watching it, like...
Between Superboy and this or Batman and this?
Batman and this. Like, on Friday, you know, actor A's playing a certain character, and then on Monday it's like, hey, I'm Greg and I'm actor B, but I'm the same guy you were watching Friday, I'm just a different actor.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just in response to what Joe was trying to...
I didn't hear you say that, so that's why I was confused. Oh, yeah. I was like,
I really... Red Robin was the only part of Teen Titans I actually liked.
Well, and truthfully, between Superboy and Red Robin, I'd actually like to see a Red Robin book.
I would too.
Because, frankly, I don't really care that much. I mean, he seems interesting in the book. The book's good. I can't say that. But I think the mystery of Red Robin sounds more interesting.
If you can do something good with Red Robin, like the crippled guy laying in bed that's, like, telepathically linked into the internet in Red Robin was
That was kind of
just retarded. I can't even think of a good phrase.
But still, you don't have to do that with it. But being his type of character... And his type of character that they have in this is a little more mysterious than his character in Red Robin before. Yeah, he was very, and being the leader, you can obviously tell he's going to be the leader of this
team. And they made the wings work, too.
Yeah,
that was one of the big complaints of it beforehand.
Batman and Robin.
I really like that costume.
Yeah, no, I think
it's
really cool.
The more I talk about it, the more I think I like this book. Because going into like the Superboy reveal, like his time to activate the Superboy, I thought that was...
I actually thought
as a team book it was better introduced than Justice League.
Yeah.
I thought you got a feel of a lot of the characters, and I actually, of all of my books, I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I didn't, because I really thought the only two characters you really got any introduction to were Wonder Girl and Red Robin.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to show Flash.
Well, and then maybe it's also because I read Superboy.
It was fun seeing Lobdell's dig at the X-Men. So.
What was that?
It was Professor X's mansion that blew up.
By the way, I found another Marvel character in one of these DC books.
Uh-oh.
I saw Peter Parker in The Flash. I swear, it was Peter Parker.
I got one
camera.
One thing, outlet. just for Ryan.
Yeah?
Just to go back with what you were saying about, you know, the artist's interpretation of the characters. And I agree with that 100%. My thought, though, is being that DC is doing this 52 and trying to draw in new readers and get new people in right now, I think from book to book, the characters should at least look the same age. At least to start with.
Yeah, DC has just seemed to have an issue.
But again, in Batman, it was one panel from the side. You know, it was just...
It's a style thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't claim to be an expert on Capullo's artwork because this is really the first thing of him that I've studied in depth. Like, I'm sure I've seen pictures of his Spawn work, but I've never really, like, gone into it and looked at it and read a whole arc of his Spawn stuff. And Teen Titans?
Yeah, it's not my favorite. I'm not a big fan of the art.
But I don't... I understand your discrepancy or your view discrepancy on the way Dick looked in Batman versus how he looks in Nightwing and, you know, so on and so forth. I think that's something that I'm more likely to disregard. If I see that and, like, now when I saw it, I admit, Dick looks like he's about 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know what, it's one panel, I don't really care, I know it's not going to factor into the story.
Also
in
case it was four people having to make them look different as opposed to...
Exactly. Yeah. And I know, like, I knew they weren't going to carry over, like, well, you know, I'm not going to read in an interview 3 weeks later. Well, by accident, Greg Capullo drew Dick Grayson looked like he was 12, so now we're just deciding that he's 12. So I guess it just doesn't... I understand why it affects you, but it just isn't as big of an issue.
I think it would, though, with new readers.
It's not a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
But for a new reader, especially with Nightwing and that Batman book coming out the same week, you know,
Because a lot of people are going to judge their age for their height because of how they're showing them look. I think, as a new reader, I think it would be a little harder.
You've got to sort of make them look somewhat similar for a new reader until they get used to the character. And then they're like, okay, if they see a character and it says Dick, they don't really care what he looks like. They know that's who it is.
But as readers that have been reading this for a while, I think we already have that kind of feel that, okay, Bruce Wayne looks like this. You know, this is the age of this character. So I can see that.
Ultimately, that's what this DC 52 is supposed to be about, is getting the new readers in.
I agree with you. I thought it was about saving money so they didn't go under.
It's just one of those things that even if I was a new reader, which is hard for me to imagine because it's... comic books are such a big part of my life, it's hard for me to separate that from my perception. But even if I was a new reader, I think I would still probably say that I just would be like, oh, well, he looks like he's 12, but maybe it was just the artist.
And you
maybe
may, you may be 100%.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it might be that, you know,
no, someone's still going to look right. You may be 100% right, Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, no, I understand.
I was about setting up the next thing.
Being that both of us read comics now, it's a little different circumstance than if either one of us was new readers.
Right. Well, did you read Voodoo?
Hey! Now, if anything could cause uproar, it's a book about a stripper where the entire issue takes place in a strip club.
You know, I was surprised to not hear that.
I think it was pretty tastefully done.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Sammy
Bossery can draw anything.
Yeah, I'll read anything Sammy Bossery draws.
I mean, how are his eyes?
Yeah, I had no problem with the eyes, but I'll be honest with you, I wasn't looking at the eyes.
Colin's eye rating?
What's he looking
I have no idea.
It was very tastefully done.
I had zero knowledge of the character. Somebody's like, oh, from Wildcats. I'm like, that you might as well just say it's from, you know, the X team, or the White, or whatever. I had never read Wildcats. I had no idea who this character was.
They stripped away everything.
They stripped away everything, man.
kept the essence of the character. Yeah, she was a stripper.
I thought it was really, really well done, and I'm going to read the next issue.
I like how prepared Joe is. Every time we go to one,
on it, every page.
I've read the naked.
Have you read every book as we've been talking about it, though?
No, I read them, before we started.
Oh, I was going to say, because if you read them right now, you're not as good as Nick.
Yeah.
He was
good. Yeah. Nick was sitting there reading.
We're talking about Superboy, and you hear...
He has read.
So I just finished Red Superboy.
this is what I feel.
Yeah.
That was the last book I read. I left it for last because I had virtually no interest in it. I liked it.
I don't think you can go wrong with Ron Mars. That's what I wrote on my little notes. I've always liked his writing, whether he was writing Green Lantern or just anything else I've read of his. And like you said, this was very tastefully done for being a book that takes place entirely in a strip club. I don't know. I haven't seen any complaints as of yet on the internet. Yeah. You know, and
I was worried about that splash page.
Right,
you know,
I was.
Where she's on her knees on the runway.
One of the commentators that wrote a piece on Red Hood. What?
Okay.
He's going.
I'm sorry. I didn't see his face because I was looking. Someone online who was writing about Red Hood and Catwoman had mentioned that she didn't have any hopes. I believe it was a she. She didn't have any hopes for this book because she was like, well, obviously, you know, here's the first page of the book, and it's this woman who's a stripper leaning over in a very sexual way. So I just don't care immediately. And I think it was really tastefully done. I would hope that person gives the book a chance because it wasn't like they were just in a strip club and it was nakedness for the sake of nakedness. They were setting up her character. You know, this is what she does. No one really knows who she is. They just know she moves from town to town. And so far, this is what she's doing. But even the background characters, the other women at
the
strip club.
The mom trying to find somebody to watch the kid.
Yeah, and, you know, when everyone said, I'm busy, and then they look at the main character, they look at Voodoo, and they're like, well, what about you? She's like, I don't know, I don't think I get along with people very well.
I eat babies, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. She doesn't want to say that, because she's an alien, but the other woman says, well, you know, if you want to, this is like our family, this is some of the only people that we have, if you want us to like you, you might have to start pitching in and being a better person. So I feel like that's a plot point that maybe they're going to set up. She is going to try and be more of an empathetic character. I thought the Mulder-Scully relationship of the two secret agents was pretty interesting.
I thought the Mulder ending was interesting.
Yes, yeah. I like that a lot.
I will say what it was beyond that, but I thought
this was one that I found interesting because... give it away. the fact the red hooded lady showed up on a page with the Scully.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And to be honest, I think that was planned, because otherwise that's a weird panel with nothing there.
That's something I've looked at in these fourth week books. Is that it seems like these artists had enough know ahead of time.
Enough notice. Yeah. Because there was a couple where themselves. She was...
Like in Hawkman, I remember it was behind him where it wasn't like pretty it was forced into something. It was... Yeah. It was... I didn't even notice her in some of them.
You know, when I first heard about her being in different things and looking for her in different things, she seemed to be with the main character.
Right, that's why I thought this was interesting that she and wasn't anymore, with the
she
main
has
character.
Been, like, so I... Well, I always saw her as... I kept assuming that she was more like the Watcher, mm-hmm. basically. And now I'm not so sure because she's not really caring too much about what's going on. She just seems to be randomly just showing up in different places. So I don't know how I... What about her?
You know what I really hope? I really hope DC never acknowledges her existence.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. Just never talk about her
again. Just make this tie... This is just tying it into Flashpoint and moving on.
Yeah, Friday tends to be their big days for when they release story stuff on their blog, so I'm really waiting to see what they say tomorrow. I was waiting for the fourth week.
Yeah.
I figured they wouldn't say anything about it until after all the books were out. So I'm interested to see what they say tomorrow. But if they say, that's what I'm interested in. If they say nothing, if she never comes up again, I will be very happy.
And then Grant Morrison Jr. can pull it out of his bag of tricks in like 2030 when he's writing Superman. Right. And
I just, if it goes somewhere, okay. But if it goes somewhere, I would hope that if it becomes a crossover, it's not a needless crossover.
Wouldn't that be horrible if she was just in the number twos as well? And you're just like, okay, what's the point?
She's in every book from now on.
She's always in it. It's like, Where's Waldo? It's a little just to freak you out,
just the one book, she's just not there. And the whole internet cracks in half. It's like, what's going on?
Well, they're giving you a Where's Waldo game inside your comic book. You get two things in one.
Wow, it's like an activity book. Where I demand a maze in the next book.
I do too. You need to provide that, Colin.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
I really like the panel structure.
Yeah, the art, the story, I thought the flow went well.
More teardrops on
people's eyes. Like her hair even covered her alien breasts.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I just kind of flipped through this and I went to the end and like I saw this scene and then I flipped to this page. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, how the heck is he alive after that? So then when I went back and read it.
The book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll never know.
We spoiled that for you.
The one thing I'll say is strippers are a really good occupation for her traveling city to city. There's always a strip club.
Yeah. I mean, it's and they're always taking in new girls. Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know personally.
It's really easy. It's always easy to find new girls. Right.
If I could analyze it a little bit more, and this is going back to the whole argument that the one person made online, that they didn't want to read this book based on the... You know, uncolored, unfinished first page. Even the scene where the male secret agent is watching Voodoo, we don't see her dance, you know, as from our perspective watching him watch her. We see it in his sunglasses, so we're effectively focused on his eyes, Colin. But that denotes a literary, I don't want to say technique, a literary device that some feminist literary critics have called the male gaze, and how some literature is so focused on the male gaze that it's written from a male perspective, whereas Colin's taking notes. Whereas that scene I felt focused on his obsession with her. So it's not about the fact that she's, you know, a sexy stripper dancer like perhaps people might think it might be. It's about him taking his mission, whatever his mission is supposed to be, a little too far, and I liked that. So I think that's an example that I would cite if someone were to attack this book for being anti-feminist. It's not. I don't think it is.
I'm looking forward to the Voodoo Starfire crossover.
You would.
I have to bring this back to the normal human level of intelligence. Not me. I just got my.
What about Catwoman?
Boobs good.
Hey, that's what what's her name saying from Comics Allies.
That exact
boobs good. That's what all men say.
Oh.
Laura, Lori.
One of the people that was writing about.
Seems bad? No, I'm sorry. I can't support that.
You can't bring yourself to say it.
No, that's not right. Okay, well, that concludes our DC portion of this week's.
The one thing I'd say I'd like DC to do that would make this so much easier for new readers and would have solved everything we complained about, put a damn summary page in the front of the book.
Exactly.
Have all the characters and their name and a little blurb.
I was going to mention that.
Something.
You showed the opening splash from Flash.
Ooh. Yeah.
That rhymed. that was one of my favorite double splash pages, but that was also my favorite introduction of the new 52 because most of the books have had the little blurb that they always have, like, you know, for Batman, it's a little box that says, you know, as a child, his parents were gunned down in front of him. Now he's trained and sworn to fight criminals. But it's, like, this big. You know, it's not even big enough on the page you can really notice it. It's just kind of hidden behind the logo. Whereas in The Flash, it was huge, and it was just nice. I mean, because they're all really nice summaries of the character, and it just says, you know, police scientist Barry Allen was covered with chemicals and found that he has super speed. Now he's The Flash, and they make The Flash, you know, a prominent panel on that page. And I thought that worked well, and I agree with you. I'd like to see more of that. I think that would have only made these number ones stronger as introductions for the
characters. But especially with, like, the team books, like going back to the whole Tim Drake not looking the same. Mm-hmm. If you had a little panel. Tim Drake, Wonder Girl, blah,
Well, to be honest, that's something they could do more with the number two.
Absolutely.
Right. Just summarizing number one Marvel, and moving on.
Marvel actually does that.
I don't know if you really could do that in number one.
Every book. They change it, like, every time. They even adapt it to, like, this is what happened last time, which is actually kind of cool.
My favorite ones are the X-Factor ones.
Absolutely. And my daughter won a bowling. I remember there was one where his daughter won a bowling league and got a trophy. It's just like, it's what makes it fun in that case is you feel a connection to the writer.
Yeah,
right?
That's
cool. That's completely outside the book, but hey, I know you.
I think Image is starting to do it a little bit, and so is IDW. Usually on the inside of the cover, they'll have a little something, but that should be like a mandatory thing in comics. Like, they should pass
along. I wouldn't mind if DC did that, but my issue would be that they've already been, I don't want to say stingy, but, you know, they've already decreased their page counts in the past few months. I would hate for them to knock an extra page off the book just
put
so we have
it on the inside cover or don't count it towards the page.
That's ad space for them. They're sacrificing pages for
and it does seem really odd reading a Marvel book right after reading a DC book because all of a sudden you're like, geez, this thing's going on forever. Like, what's going on?
Because Marvel's just something good for the new reader.
I thought they were all.
No, I'm not saying I don't like it. I do.
Maybe that
I'd be afraid of the ramifications.
One of the websites, I think it was Comic Book Reader. Comic
they count the pages.
They each week will give the comics to new readers who have either never read comics.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yeah,
and a lot of the issues those people have with it is stuff like that, where they have trouble following who a character is from book to book because of the different looks.
I can see how that comes in.
I have trouble tracking book to book every month because I read
read
100 books a month.
Yeah.
You know. It's hard for me to remember, especially like.
Well, to be honest with you, reading that much, I just skip over the summary page.
Really?
Yeah.
I
don't have time to read it.
The older Marvel stuff that I read, like when I started reading Ultimates, when I was picking up like the Ultimates.
Older stuff.
Okay.
Wow.
I didn't.
No, that's fine. It just.
Okay, older relatively to now.
Right.
But when I was reading like the Ultimate X-Men trade paperbacks, I would skip over those because, like,
trade, absolutely.
But they were still in there.
I mean,
they
it's been 6 months since Kick-Ass 3, you know, Kick-Ass 2, number 2.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. Now.
You might want to read that somewhere.
Yeah. Right, oh, right, perhaps. Right, I agree. Right. Right.
Yeah. But I agree, like you said, and like Sean said, for a new reader, they'd be very, very, very helpful. Even if they were only around, like you said, for the second book. The second issue.
Well, I would just keep them forever. Just put in the inside cover.
Right, but
four sentences.
Yeah.
Last month in Batman.
Yeah. See,
if you look at X Factor, the way they do it, it's not like the whole page. It's, you know, there's a paragraph about what the book is, and then of course there's the Peter David thing about him and his family.
But it is the whole page. It's not that much text. But I'm saying it's taking up
a picture from how the last issue ended.
Yeah.
All right, Colin, I'll give you the range back now that I've diverted you.
I don't care. No, I'm just saying if you wanted to move on to anything else. I know I haven't read a whole lot. I did read Spider-Man, but Adam hasn't read it, so I don't want to ruin it for him. My only concern with Spider-Man right now is just they've made such a drastic physical change to the people. You know, at the end of the last issue, if you read it, everybody's starting to have this secondary transformation. Yeah. And it goes even further than this next one. I just don't see how they can undo it.
Is everybody going to become Man-Spider?
I'll tell you after.
It is a Spider Island.
Oh, wait. Dan wants to jump in. Dan has been cracking boxes of the new magic for me.
Yes. And I've been waiting for you to bring up Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say, and I won't, like, spoil it because one person hasn't read it. It really felt like the whole issue was a gigantic advertisement for all the tie-ins. Because there were so many, like, one-panel shots of people from the tie-ins that I personally didn't read, and then it says, you know, the whole Marvel thing, like, well, read it in this issue. And you're just like, okay, well, I don't want to read that, so why is this coming into one of my favorite books? So I really didn't like that. I thought it was a filler issue, for sure.
You should go actually read the Shang-Chi and the Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah?
I think they're both pretty good.
I don't think Cloak and Dagger showed up in this, and I don't think Shang-Chi
showed up. No, neither of them.
So they were pimping the crappy ones.
Yeah.
The ones I consider crappy.
That's all you want to say? Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Dan.
That's a cameo.
It's like we had a special one.
If you want to know what Dan's doing, go yes. see the other room.
I read Ultimate Spider-Man 2 this week.
So did I.
I thought it was an improvement over number 1.
Was it polybag?
No, it was not. That's why I was able to read it.
It's in a Ziploc.
However, nothing happened.
That's my biggest problem.
It's a lot of character development. Yeah. Nothing really happened. I mean,
two issues in and nothing has happened. 80%
of that book took place on a park bench with the dad and the kid.
Yeah,
but is Bendis still writing?
Yeah,
Bendis is still writing the book.
Yeah.
But well, he'll never get
Sarah Pacelli's art is just gorgeous.
It is, but again, two issues. I don't know if I'm going to go back for a third.
Yeah, I mean,
see, you know, I know Kevin has been getting it, and
I don't know if he got these, but he may have.
Yeah, he texted me about them. He's really enjoying.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
He's really like.
My concern is it's about Ultimate Spider-Man. Yet finally on the last page of issue 2, he does something. Spider-Man-ish.
And I don't think they drug everything it out that long with the original series. I don't think they drug out him being... I mean, Bendis drags things out.
I mean, he gets bit by the spider on the last page of the first issue.
Yeah.
And then, finally, on the last page of this one, he goes, oh, wow, look, I can put my hand on the wall, and it's 6. And everything else in between was just a lot of talking.
And that's a lot of stuff we already know about Spider-Man
I think the father-son conversation is going to set up a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And something's going to happen. Yes, yes.
He'll probably die.
You got to have, and you at least after that have, show some bad guy planning something. Even the first issue showed a little bit about Osborn and stuff.
Yeah, well,
this one just.
I'm not sure where I read it, but people were taking bets on who dies, the dad or the uncle.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's one well, it can be the uncle.
And I like
because
that dynamic,
the uncle, that's just too obvious.
It's a fine line between when they put too much characterization in a book and absolutely nothing happens, and where a lot of times it's always the character in costume and you never get to know the actual character.
Right.
He's like an afterthought.
And to be honest, I know what I'm getting myself into, and I'd pick up a Bendis number 1 and Bendis number 2. And
especially there's a little more balance.
And I know what I'm getting myself into at this point. So I know to expect nothing in the first 2 to 3 issues.
Frankly, I think a lot of it is Bendis is just writing way too much. And I'm afraid that's going to happen to Jeff Johns in DC because I feel like he's all of a sudden jumping onto lot of books.
Where's Joe? Joe? I want to talk about Brilliant.
What did
Johns
write?
Johns
is writing Aquaman.
Oh, I don't
want to
stop you.
They're bringing him on. Is he on the flash?
I read Brilliant, and I know you said you were disappointed in it, and so was I.
Totally disappointed.
Okay, hang on.
So he was writing a lot more, though, wasn't he, before that?
Just Flashpoint, The Flash, Green Lantern.
He just seems like he just writes a lot for...
Not all. His name was on Brightest Day, but it was like Peter Tomasi and somebody else.
They put Bendis on everything.
Maybe there was a third on Brightest Day.
Okay, I was trying to think Marvel book I read this week, and the only other one I remember was Brilliant, just because it's been hyped for so long, too long. It's horribly late.
It's an Icon
book. It's an Icon book. Bendis
Bagley.
He's doing with Mark Bagley. They're getting back together the the Ultimate Spider-Man team.
Did they just do that back together thing on Ultimate Spider-Man around like 150, 152, something
that? When he came back, yeah. But they're back together again.
Never before, but again.
And so I read it intrigued. I wanted it to be good. I'm like, oh, great. Because I really like Mark Miller's Nemesis, things like that. So I'm like, okay. And I'm reading it. I'm going, where is this going? And at the very end, it's like, this could be interesting. But the entire leading up to it was just people talking out of context, it seemed, the whole time. There was a scene early on where the guy's talking, two friends are talking as he's loading something in a trunk. He's talking about his mom, and then all of a sudden he says, fine, we broke up. And I remember thinking, you broke up with his mom? What? And then, so you're thinking, oh, he broke up with some woman, okay, fine. And then it goes to a party at, obviously they're in college, so it's a college party. And all of a sudden this girl comes over and they're all, oh, hey, how you doing? Da, da, da. And you're just like, well, did he break up with her? I don't understand.
Yeah, you know.
And then she snaps on some guy, like, you know, what do you think you're doing? Da, da, da. And I just remember sitting there going, I have no idea their relationship amongst any of these people.
And that's weird because Bendis is usually straightforward.
Yeah,
there's usually nothing left to mystery.
Yeah, I was very confused.
And a lot of it seemed needless, you know.
Yeah,
and after the weight of a lot of the DC books I read this week, this seemed really flimsy. Yeah.
And the other thing I was looking at, it's like the first four pages were all just basically like a guy walking into a bank, and it was four pages of a guy. No text. And four pages of them, you know, first it's a shot of his face, and then a shot of his feet walking, and then he's opening the door, and you're just like, okay. And the weird thing is, they're showing that he's indestructible or bulletproof or something, so they show him getting shot in the cheek, and it was just very odd. And it's that picture on the cover, and it's bouncing, and his cheek is mushing, and it's just a very odd picture, and he's kind of smiling at the same time. It's a very
That's
the cover. Yeah, that's the cover.
I think the biggest drawback of this issue was that the coloring on the art somehow blurred it and made it look really scratchy and sketchy.
Did you
not like Bagley at all? Yeah.
And you thought that was clean?
Well, that was also very rushed. Remember, that was a weekly book.
Oh.
I know, but I'm just saying, this one clearly wasn't rushed as it's 3 or 4 months late at this point.
Everything was bad on that.
Yeah, but I was really let down.
Going back to getting into what you know about Bendis, I'm waiting for the trade.
Okay.
Because Bendis is notorious.
This one, if it's anything like Scarlet, it'll be ready next Christmas.
Which is just fine, because you know what? I read Scarlet in issues. I absolutely love the Scarlet. But where is it?
Yeah.
We're six.
I know. I think I'm ordering.
I want six. I want more powers. Yeah. When was the last time there was a powers issue?
Oh, don't go there.
I mean,
only because 3 years ago, I think I was in Vegas, and he came to the Diamond Summit in Vegas and said, "New powers starting up, and we promise it's going to be monthly." So
there were four.
There were nine of them.
Actually. Here's a good one to jump onto. Avengers Point One, New Avengers Point One.
Didn't read it.
I don't know. It seems really... Was that? I don't even know if Bendis wrote that or not. I can't remember.
It was him and Neil Adams. They were really hyping that up.
The art in that story of something that was like happening when... They were doing something with Osborn, you know, transferring him to somewhere else. And they have two like escape things, and they just throw them all together in the one... when you read it, it was
short. Okay.
How did he escape from the underwater? At the end of that, he turned
himself back in.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah,
because he wanted to go to trial. He was trying to prove himself that, you know, they were wrong, and he wanted to go to trial. But it was just, the story was just really, and I was really excited about this book, because I'm a big Norman Osborn fan. And I really liked Osborn. And this book, it just, as an introduction to this whole story going on that I was really excited for, just really didn't do it for me. It was very rushed. Just didn't make any sense. And the art was just horrible. Yeah. I just did not like the art. Norman Osborn didn't even look like Norman Osborn. I kept thinking he looked like Harry Osborn.
I can't wait.
They made him really skinny.
Now, Adam.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dan wanted to talk about FF. Now, I'm like three issues behind on it, so I can't...
You don't want to spoil it?
Okay.
Spoil the DC books.
Well, we'll talk about FF next week, then. Let me get caught up. Okay, fine.
Yeah, get caught up.
Fine. He's not going to get caught up.
I will. Well, now I'm done. I'm done reading the FF, and I'm done with the monthly order, so I'm caught up.
Which FF are you on?
The last one I read was the first of the
Black
Bolt issues.
Skip the two Black Bolt issues. Wait till they go back. Black Bolt's alive.
He's back.
That's all you need to know.
Okay. He's back and he's got a lot of wives.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Okay.
And some of them are really ugly.
Some of them are really ugly. Nice.
He can't win all
the way. The other book I read this week was Iron Man 2.0. And I love
Getting
Iron
better?
Man. I love War Machine. I love Nick Spencer. I really hope Josh Falkoff can fix this book now that he is co-writing it. It's a spy novel about a guy who's haunting people from the dead. And it turns out he's doing this because he was an organ donor, and he put nanites in his blood to replicate his personality or something along those lines.
Is this still that guy from the first
issue?
Palmer
Adley, yes.
Okay.
So now some woman with a kidney transplant is acting as the dead terrorist and launching missiles out of her home in Wisconsin. It's
what?
Crazy. I love everything about the book except the artist. But I just wanted to get better.
Is it finally out of Fear Itself?
I think it still has the... No, it doesn't.
No, it is not
a Fear Itself.
So apparently he survives Fear Itself. Okay, good.
Well,
Fear Itself
was only one issue with him where he went with Iron Fist to China to stop the demons from the Eighth City, which made...
It ties into Monkey King.
But that was so pointless
the
of a
book
crossover.
Of the year.
It's like, you have the seven immortal weapons and War Machine.
Well, clearly they needed him.
We needed 52 of the Monkey King.
You had Gorilla Bob.
Gorilla Bob is the podcast mascot.
Gorilla Bob.
But yeah, I was.
We just really like monkeys here for some reason.
Now on the upside, I read Ultimate X-Men last week.
Who doesn't like monkeys?
Yes, I opened the poly bag.
What?
And I thought it was really good. I thought it was the best of the Ultimate books.
I think the poly bags need zippers.
I like all the Ultimate X-Men. I haven't read the second one yet.
But Ultimate X-Men was a good book.
That way I can zip it and
but
it's done.
It has a lot of beats from the original X-Men. I mean, mutants are persecuted. Jean Grey, I mean, Kate, whatever her last name is.
I was like, what?
Well, they all changed their name, and Rogue's living in the sewers with the Morlocks and Iceman and Johnny Storm, and or not Rogue, Kitty, sorry.
I don't know who posted it on Facebook, I don't remember. Might have been, I don't know if it was Sean. Well, did you post the Jean Grey?
Oh, yeah, that looks cool.
Oh, yeah,
that was Nick.
Yeah.
I thought that was a promo image
for the new Wolverine book. So, yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, about his. Yes, yeah, he's
such
a
basic a
new
cover,
school.
But it was like that seems interesting. You know.
I'm trying to remember.
Anything else, Sean?
No, I just had to go look at the cover for.
Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? Just
yeah,
a little
weird.
Weird.
Actually, the character on the cover looks like Peter Parker.
Peter Parker is all over the place.
It was really weird.
He's like the purple hooded person.
Yeah.
Did everybody see the promo image? One of these, the .1 image that they put out today was the return of the Scarlet Spider. It's like,
who cares?
Really?
Okay.
That's awesome.
All the new point ones
are going to be about
which
return of fan favorite characters.
Yeah,
the
one was Nova, and I'm like, well, Nova was in the first arc of Secret Avengers.
You,
it wasn't that long.
Are you talking about Ben Reilly Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I thought he didn't die.
He just kind of walked into
the
Iron Spider.
Nova died in the
last cosmic arc.
Yeah.
Cosmic mini was.
When did Nova die, Dan?
Realm
Nova
of Kings.
The Thanos Imperative.
Thanos.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He got stuck in
he didn't die. He just, it got closed. He was there with Star-Lord.
Him, Nova. Nova, Star-Lord, and
Thanos
got stuck.
Right.
And Thanos was out of his mind.
You joining us?
So it was implied.
You have to get all dressed up for the
podcast.
I don't know. It shows up good on the.
Speaking of Ben Reilly, though.
Ben Roethlisberger.
No, we're not speaking of him. They actually had an issue not too long ago of Spider-Man dealing with. It was before Big Time that they had this flashback issue about Ben Reilly.
Okay. It was just a promo image.
That he might not
like, really?
Still be dead. So that might be kind of interesting if you've read that issue.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things you can do with a point. Completely ignored that joke.
I was talking to him. What?
There's a lot of things you can do with a point.
Well, there is.
Get the point.
Just to get it out there. My biggest concern with this .1 book, and it's just one book, but it's they're hyping it up, and it's they're like, this is the start of everything. Everybody's going to want to get this, and it's 64 pages. But then you look at the list, and I counted, and there are seven writers, and more, and it also had seven artists and more. I'm like, well, wait, if you have eight writers writing 64 pages, that's mean this is going to be, you know, eight of these little five or six page vignette books that nobody likes, nobody buys, doesn't sell.
Do they have a price on it yet?
I don't remember offhand. No, it's .1. It's the .1 book. Yeah, so I'm just sitting here going, this might be setting everything up, but I know from history, like they did that one of those with the Wolverine Goes to Hell, little prequel to all the issues. They did one during Dark Reign. I remember Nick Fury was on the cover, and it prequeled all the little things, and
I think
I have about 40 of them
prequel.
Left. What?
The Prelude to Schism. I wonder if it'll be as good as that.
I hope so.
And you know, they did that a little bit with that Avengers annual.
I actually like the story, but at the beginning,
the Revengers,
X-Men.
At the beginning of that, Revengers, they had this little history thing of Wonder Man explaining why the Avengers have been a bad idea, all the bad things that have happened, and I thought it was going to be one of those books. I was like, well, this is, you know, pointless to, you know, to have in here, but no, they didn't do that. I was a little worried, but I'm not a big fan of those type of books that do that.
So.
I didn't get 3-day indie stuff this week.
Yeah, no. Was
what was the one that came out last week that I really liked?
Pigs?
Pigs was good.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
okay.
What was the Near Death?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Near Death was last week. I sold out of that one.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, next week we're going to be back on Wednesdays, yay, so we can talk about more of this week's books that we didn't get a chance to finish. And then, I don't know. We'll get off DC a little bit. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the number twos.
Have we mentioned our favorites of the number ones, though? And
sure.
Our least favorite and favorite.
That's fine.
Go around.
How do you want to do it?
Start with the favorite.
Start with favorite. Yeah. Okay, go for it, Dan.
My favorite of all of these probably was Batman. I just really liked the, you know, the direction they're going, a new bad guy, a new, you know, just a good introduction, but it also stuck with what the older audience is going to like, so... Yeah.
Go.
Well, I have kind of a top few, and Jeremy left me a top five.
Okay.
Before he left. So Jeremy's top five are number one, Animal Man, number two, Superboy, three, Action, four, Aquaman, and five, Flash. My best books are just what I picked out of what I'm going to keep getting. I just think they're the best out of what I liked, and I think a lot of people would like them if they tried them. It's Batman, Action Comics, Superboy, Batwoman, Animal Man, Swamp Thing, All-Star Western, and I, Vampire.
Okay.
I think my favorite book so far is Detective, and it was like the first week, but just the story of Detective and the ending of Detective, number one, and it kind of got me ready to go, and I was really looking forward to Snyder's Batman, but then I liked Detective without Snyder better than like Snyder's Batman when it was all said and done.
This is JP. He just kind of snuck in here at the end. We don't want to confuse the listeners. They said it's hard enough figuring the voices, then we throw a new one at you. Cool. My favorite, just strictly from a new reader point or number one issue, but everything, I think Batman was my favorite, just because, like I said before... I liked how it introduced the city, it introduced all the characters, it introduced relationships. I thought it did a great job that way. Yeah, just as far as for that, but then we'll go around again, and I want to go after we finish.
So I'm going to go with Aquaman. It was everything that a first issue Aquaman, everything that an Aquaman story should have been. It was perfect.
Matt?
Men of War.
Okay, that one's gotten reamed online. Reamed, that's a bad word. A lot of people have, but some of the reviews I've read haven't been kind. But I think it's a reader specific. If you don't like a war book, you're not gonna like it.
I mean, I think I really liked Catwoman and Batman, but I expected to like those. Men of War was something that kind of took me by surprise. It wasn't something I expected to love that much. Other than ruining a good war book with a superhero appearance, it was great.
Okay.
Who's the superhero? Mine was by far Animal Man.
Yeah.
By far. My biggest surprise was Superboy.
So that's what I was going to do next, was biggest surprises. Yeah. Superboy, I agree.
Yeah, that was my biggest surprise of the 52.
Adam, what was your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise?
I guess, let's do surprise either way. Disappointment or...
Okay.
Biggest surprise.
You want to say them both at the...
Yeah, why not?
Well, my biggest surprise actually was Teen Titans, because I wasn't expecting too much out of it, and I really liked it, so that's one book that I'm probably going to stick with. The one I was most disappointed in, mainly because I was expecting just a little bit more, because I was really enjoying characters that have been, you know, in the Justice League, everything so far. I just didn't really like Wonder Woman. I didn't think it had that much, you know, happened. The character itself wasn't really in the book then.
We learned
much.
How centaurs are born, though.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That's just horrific.
Okay.
And sad, kind of. True. Not as sad as Crypto, though.
Stop.
So I'm sorry.
That hurts, man.
Sad face.
Biggest surprise or disappointment?
Biggest surprise that I loved was OMAC. Went in thinking, you know, I like Kirby concepts, but I don't know how they're going to go about doing this. and it ended up being really crazy and fun, and I'm in for the long haul on that one. As long as Giffen is there, I don't know about Dedio, but biggest surprise, disappointment was Green Lantern. I was really counting on this to be my, I'm going to start reading Geoff Johns' Green Lantern and Hal Jordan again, and it just didn't draw me in the way I wanted it to.
Biggest surprise, in a good way, was probably Nightwing as a, someone who got into Batman kind of right when Nightwing was going away and kind of Battle for the Cow, and it kind of faded him away. I wasn't really looking forward to a Nightwing book necessarily. I liked Red Robin, but how many can there be? But Nightwing was really good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great book.
I agree. In post Batman, that was cool to see, because I was wondering how much I'd like the character after Batman, because I really liked him as Batman. Yeah. Even after Batman, I kind of liked the character still.
Yeah.
Nightwing.
So. Yeah, he was good, and OMAC was just a fun book. It was a fun book. I knew nothing going into it. It was a fun book. It was enjoyable. I don't know if I'll read it going forward, but it was well worth it. Wasn't mad I read it at all. Biggest disappointment, probably JLI, Justice League International, just kind of somebody. I mean, I really liked Booster Gold and Flashpoint. I got into the whole story, read everything, was interested, and then it just kind of didn't do anything for me as I was reading it. I read Justice League the previous week. I really liked Justice League, and then Justice League International just kind of was like,
Go back and read the 80s. Justice League International is very good.
I'm 2 years behind in current.
My favorite, my biggest surprise was Animal Man. I didn't know what to expect. I had hopes out of Jeff Lemire, but I didn't expect that book to be that good. Especially after looking at the art going, I don't get it. By the time you got to the end of the book, the art was great. My biggest disappointment was Stormwatch. That was one I was really looking forward to, and it just was really a jumbled kind of mess. I'm gonna keep going with it because I like the characters, I like the whole idea behind it. But
with Cornell, you have to give him a couple.
Yeah, that first issue just, it seemed like they didn't quite, they knew what they wanted to do, but they couldn't find the way to do it.
Cornell's not an efficient storyteller. Okay. He takes, in my opinion, he takes two. He's not drawing it out like Bendis, but I think he takes two or three issues to get somewhere.
Okay.
But he doesn't draw it out where it's whole 80 or 20 pages of a dude kid talking to his dad on the park bench kind of drawing it out.
My biggest surprise was Wonder Woman. I went in, not expecting much. I'm not a big fan of Brian Azzarello, and Wonder Woman is horror.
You have to leave now.
Wonder Woman is horror. Just hit it out of the park for me. And really, I went in, I knew it was Matt's most hotly anticipated title, and I was like, there's no way I can agree with Matt.
She's under a shit.
But you know what? I loved it.
Disappointment?
I like to focus on the positive.
Okay.
Well, since I already told you my biggest surprise was Men of War, positively, negative book that I was really looking forward to, Demon Knights, Stormwatch, Batman Dark Knight.
Jeez, Matt's going to dwell on the negative.
Legion Lost.
So you like four?
But now, But I mean, were you looking? Were those ones that you were thinking were going to be really good and disappointing? Okay.
I thought you were going to say Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was a fine book, but it was disappointing because
I knew you were really looking forward to it. And I remember last week you said it didn't measure up at all to what you had hoped.
He wants a Wonder Woman voodoo crossover.
I want 100 bullets for Brian Azzarello Wonder Woman. Like,
yeah, I don't think you're going to get that, though.
I don't. And I want Grant Morrison.
You're not going to get a Vertigo Wonder Woman. You want a Grant Morrison what?
I want a Grant Morrison Wonder Woman. After reading the interview with him where he talked about why he can't bring her back, I want a Grant Morrison Wonder Woman.
Okay.
What did he say?
Basically, to bring her back, she has to be sexy and she has to be powerful, and DC won't let them do that. Let him make her a sexy, iconic woman again.
And I don't understand why they can't do that.
Because you're trashing an icon. You're not going to have Batman run around the Speedo.
I think that it's a double-edged sword. They want to take her back to her roots like they've done with all their other characters, but at the same time, they risk, they risk offending people who see her as a symbol of sort of the clean idea of female empowerment, where, to a lot of women, from what I've read on the internet, and different people's opinions of Wonder Woman, that 70s Linda Carter Wonder Woman was the reason why they felt that they could get a job and be just as important as men in a male-dominated world, things like that.
But when they sit in the middle of the office and spin, nothing happens.
I'm sorry. I think DC's concerned that, you know, it's a very fragile state for the character where they want to make her that sort of sexy, physically strong, demon-hunting character, but they also don't want to take away that image of female empowerment. I guess the politically correct version of female empowerment. I think that's the edge they're walking there. They just haven't made a decision.
So on the upside, my biggest disappointment was Mr. Terrific, but we'll ignore my problems with that book. On the upside, Superboy, I was not expecting to be good. Green Lantern and the Kyle Rayner book, I was shaky on both. I think those were both really good. Superboy was probably the biggest surprise because I really said, am I really going to want to read a Superboy book?
Yeah,
really, I'm kind of tired of him, and I thought this take was really good. So,
all the negativity over the cover, is he a robot? What's going on? Everybody was really trashing it.
There were more good surprises than there were disappointments.
I think we're going to see more into that whole robot thing now, because now that we've seen him in Teen Titans, he looks more robotish. And I think maybe they might be doing something in between that and Teen Titans.
Wait, he's a cyborg.
So maybe there's something.
No, we already have a cyborg.
No, they fully completed him. They didn't with Cyborg.
I think to some point, it's tough to enjoy all the number ones. You're reading 52 number ones.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got 52 stories, and they're trying to make them all great, and they're trying to get you interested in all the books, and you're not really getting anywhere necessarily in any of them. It's a lot of introduction. It's a lot of the same story to some degree, same story type. So it's really, you know, you're going to get down to whatever you're going to get down to, 5, 10, 15, Matt's case, 45 of them. And you're going to really start to see, like, what the number twos can do and start to go from there. So I think, like, the next, like you said, Matt, you're going to have to give it 2, 3, 4 books of a try
before
you really have,
just for the record,
when you really have a good idea of what's going to happen going forward.
I'll sneak the extra 5 in here.
I agree. I tried to rate these as close as possible to me viewing them as just number one books, not as, you know, how does this fit in with how much I love other Batman stuff. I just, you know, because that's mostly, when I looked at my pull list now, I looked at it and I was like, okay, well, I'm buying like three out of the four titles that Bruce Wayne is in. I didn't not anticipate that, but I
Which
really,
one are you not getting?
I'm not getting Dark Knight. I'm getting Detective Batman and Batman and Robin. But yeah, I tried to look at all these as like a fresh start. I tried to not look at anything that I knew about the characters. I tried not to worry about the time problems, the continuity problems, which kind of don't apply here because I'm applying what I know of characters from the previous universe. I tried to put that all out of my mind and analyze it that way. So
you mean like focus on it as a new?
Yeah, just try to like where it's stuff that carried over with Batman. I mean, that I could apply, but you know, with Starfire, as much as I didn't like her characterization, I tried not to let her characterization that I knew of her before affect my judgment of that book. You know, I didn't dock the last half of Red Hood and the Outlaws because that's not my, quote, Starfire. It was because I just didn't really feel that she added anything to the book. So that's the way I tried to look at these books.
So, Sean, your biggest surprise
in
both directions?
Pretty good.
No, he started it.
I started it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pay attention, man.
Sorry, I'm slacking.
Okay.
Aww.
Although I will say, I agree with the whole first, you know, the number one issue thing. One thing I do plan on doing now that all 52 are out is going back and rereading them. Only because the reason I want to do that is, being that we were doing the podcast on Thursday night, and even
trying to read them fast. No,
yeah,
I understand. I understand.
I think I missed
it's Colin's fault.
No, but I'm glad we did this only because we were talking about something from last week, and I'm like, what book came out last week?
Yeah.
I could barely remember it only because trying to cram these in so fast. I think if we waited till the following Wednesday.
Although, I've got to say, I'm now disappointed we're going back to the Wednesday nights.
Why?
Because now I have Hockey Wednesdays and not Thursdays.
We can stay Thursday. It doesn't matter.
So here's my question, Matt. How did the podcast affect you selling these? Did it? Did you get any comments?
I've gotten a lot of comments. Yeah, I've had a lot of people come in.
Have anybody been
a lot of new
brought
people
up that
in.
They said, you know, because of?
Not so much because they've come in said that, but I've had lots of new faces come in saying, hey, I was listening to the podcast and made just a guy last Friday. So that's been fun for me, realizing people are listening, which is scary too.
I keep trying to get, you know, people at work and stuff, I keep trying to get them to certain books, directing towards certain books that I think they may like out of the New 52 to try to get them in the store.
Yeah.
And this is for Ryan. One of them I am directing them to is Action Comics.
What?
Awesome. And JP, don't make a fun of my whole list when you're buying every third print.
That's all I haven't committed to all the third prints.
You have only committed to all the second prints.
I actually need to make sure that I ordered all the second prints, too.
I've got great faith,
I think I did.
I can say, for the first time, I have been interested in buying a variant, and I don't think I'm going to, but the variant for Flash 1... I just love that cover.
I think you should.
I really do. I might. I don't.
I am not. I'm not. What? $3.
Same price.
Yeah. It's the same price. I am not. Really? See, that's what you get here at Pittsburgh Comics. I don't jack things up just to make more money.
And I didn't know that because I didn't ask, and that's my fault.
There you go.
And you know, my favorite thing though about this New 52 is the
is the
variety. There's a lot of variety between characters that you don't.
And again,
see that
and again, I've said this, but I wish Marvel specifically, I mean, I'd love to see a horror book, you know, a regular, horror, instead of just a mini, but like I, Vampire, there's really nothing,
I think
there's
they
no
could,
swamp
they
thing,
could spread it out a
there's,
little
a,
bit the
there's no
variety.
Westerns, they there's just a lot
Blake,
more,
man.
Right.
You got Anita Blake in the whole Stephen King book.
So where's the horror coming in Anita Blake?
Well, it's Vampire, but...
Those
are just literary adaptions, which, I mean, are fine on themselves, but...
Those aren't connected to the universe,
Stephen
though,
King
are they?
Thing was...
No, not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
An original story for comics.
What
version of the
Stark Tower or the Stand?
Dark Tower.
The Stand, no, the Stand, I think, is just adapted
to the
novels.
Parts of
the Dark
Tower are original. The first story arc in Dark Tower was just a retelling of the fourth book with a little bit from
which
the
I think
book.
Was a bad move, because people dropped that like a stone, man.
I mean, it was a nice graphic
it's like,
presentation.
Yeah, I read it, highly anticipated, and I went, you know what, I've read this before.
Yeah, I read this.
I like that they're not all tied to the core universe.
What do you mean?
With Marvel's extra stuff.
Oh, that's... No, but I'm just saying those are literary adaptions, but I'd just like to see, a, you know, maybe a... you know, Where's a Man Thing book to go... Not to go along with Swamp Thing, but I'd like to see a little more variety.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's...
That would be cool.
Well, but they have the characters.
I guess...
Marvel. Instead of Dracula... Bring that back.
The thing that I'm hoping...
Man Thing, bring that back. Yeah, I don't know if they have an animal man, but what?
Yeah, Monster Hunter, or whatever that's
yeah,
coming.
Yeah, four issue.
Instead of just having, like, multiple books...
I can't do that now.
Instead of just having...
Pop me in DC.
Instead of just having multiple books of...
What?
They can't do that now. I'm going to say they're copying DC.
Well, that's true.
The thing that I hope with these other DC genres that they brought in, they brought in a lot of Vertigo ideas, they brought in a lot of Wildstorm ideas. I think the thing that I hope is that they're not overpowered by the traditional DCU stuff that we're used to seeing. Like, I don't, unless it was really necessary, I don't want to see Batman and I, Vampire. You know, unless it's really necessary, I don't really want to see. I'm trying to think of a character. I don't want to see.
That'd be kind of cool.
Like I said, if it worked, if it served the story, I'd be fine with it. But, like, I don't want to see Flash show up in Frankenstein unless it's really necessary.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Right.
Whereas I think maybe that's something that. Would, I don't know, maybe it would benefit Marvel, maybe it would draw a new reader. I mean, it would make me a little more interested in reading Marvel if I knew that there was more variety, like Colin was saying. But
one disappointment I had was in Flash, was only in the fact that he didn't address that he remembered Flashpoint. I'm wondering if that was wrong. And I don't know that they need to beat us over the head with it, but it just seemed like it was...
I didn't think about that, but I'm almost kind of glad that he didn't, but I'm going
to
want...
But that was one reason I was looking forward to Flash. I'm like, this could be interesting, because I think the second issue... At least the solicit was something about his mind was racing and stuff.
Faster.
Yeah,
I think they're going to bring in the idea that not only is he super fast, but he can think super fast, which is something that Morrison did with Wally.
Okay.
Well, they should.
That was pretty cool in, the...
in remembering the backdraft the definition.
That was
Kid Flash and Teen Titans.
He's not a regular Flash, but...
But with Flash, they did show it with him working. Like, he was working on trying to figure something out, and he was jumping back and forth to different things.
I guess
doing
my main
quicker.
Question from the end of Flashpoint 5 was, is that guilt going to factor into his character, like you said? And it doesn't seem to, at least in this first issue, but I mean, I wouldn't mind having, you know, Barry Allen be against time travel. Or
he's going to be like Daredevil. He's going to be sad and lose all
the
time.
If he's really sad, then that might ruin, not ruin the book for me, but that would make me less interested. But I mean, if someone's like, I'm going to time travel and go fix this, and he's going to be like, no, and here's why you're not going to do it.
Yeah,
because the last time we did it, we relaunched the universe.
Now, you said the one thing you guys talked about was diversity.
Yeah.
To me, that wasn't a huge deal because
I read a lot of small publisher stuff, and that diversity is there. You just have to look.
Right. Yeah. But I just, I
think
like,
it's cool that DC's doing it. I think that's cool, but it's there. It's been there.
Well, and most of the stuff has been stuff that they've had. It's just nice to see it
so
all out.
That was my next question. Is iVampire the only all-new?
That's not all-new. That's from House of Mystery.
I Vampire. If that was a real thing, or if it was an existing thing, you should know.
Yeah, no, it's an old House of Mystery storyline. It was I Vampire. I don't know if it's the same characters and everything, but I'm assuming it is.
The only, I don't know if there are any like brand spanking new.
No, that's the only one that would have been
concept.
All new characters.
Yeah,
I can't really.
Speaking of the whole Flash and Flashpoint thing, you know what would have been kind of cool is with Batman and Robin, where Bruce is taking Damian down there and, you know, he's going to get past his parents' death and this. If they would have mentioned something about the note that Flash gave him there.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why.
Yeah, that would have been.
There's time.
My only thought is this was probably started long before they even knew there was going to be that note or something.
Yeah,
you know,
Tomasi was supposed to be writing Batman and Robin right when Morrison left.
Yeah,
so
yeah, something like that.
It would be cool if Batman smacked Damien upside the head.
I think he will eventually.
I think
he's going to trash him.
Like, Childhood Services phone call kind of smacked him upside the head.
Yeah. He's Batman. He's a wow.
Okay. Well, I think we've rambled long enough.
This is a long podcast.
When do you want to do it next? You want to do it Wednesday or Thursday? It doesn't matter.
I'm fine with
Wednesdays. We'll do it next Wednesday, and then we'll go from there. The listeners really care. But.
Are we going to be talking about books from the previous week, or are we going to talk about books that came out that day?
No, we'll talk about stuff that came out this, and we'll probably recap some stuff that we haven't talked about or that we now have a chance to get caught up on.
I mean, now that we're going back to Wednesdays.
No, I'm not going to. No, you're not going to be able to. Yeah. We're going to start at 8, so you can sit an hour and read in the corner. No, that's no good.
I don't know what just happened.
No. Okay, I'm turning this thing off. We'll see you next time.
I like the way the line runs up the back of his stockings. I've always liked those kind of high heels too. No, don't take them off. Leave them on. Yeah, that's it. A little more to the right. I'll pay you for it.